Mr. Bombs.
Here.
Mr. Dougherty. Mr. Hawley.
Here.
Mr. Neff.
Here.
Mr. McGoldrick. Mr. Cacamo.
Here.
Mr. Jasko.
Here.
Mr. Kropinski. Ms. Fajewski.
Here.
Dr. Zuzalak.
Here.
Mr. Curtis. Mr. Burr. Ms. Walker.
Pursuant to Section 5 of the Open Public Meetings Act, this meeting has been duly advertised in accordance with law by publication in the official newspapers of the borough, by posting in Borough Hall by the borough clerk as part of the annual notice. This meeting is a quasi-judicial proceeding. Any comments or questions must be limited to issues that are relevant to what the board may legally consider in reaching a decision. Decorum appropriate to a judicial hearing must be maintained at all times. Now please stand for a silent prayer and pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Chairman, the record will reflect that Mr. Kropinski has now joined the board.
Thank you. It's a public comment portion. Anybody have a public comment for anything that is not on the agenda this evening? Any hands up?
There's no
hands up. Okay. I see none. We'll continue. Mr. Stive, any pending litigation?
I'm pleased to announce that there is none.
Great. Other business. Let's have one thing before we get into the board feedback. Is regarding the PBA ball. Normally we do an ad in the ad journal for the planning board. I know if that was discussed last month. I was not here at that meeting. If it was, and I bring it up as a question. It's kind of late notice, but there's still time to get an ad in before I do a planning board. I think it's usually a full page ad that we do. And I don't have in front of me how much it costs, especially like $8 or $10 a person. If you want to do that, oh.
We didn't bring it up, but glad you did. And,
yeah.
Happy to support.
Me too.
Okay. Yeah. Sounds good. I'll ask the board secretary to coordinate that. And I guess I can put out the money for now and then maybe next meeting. And bring the money in, just reimburse. Yeah, I guess best way of doing it at this point. And also, since Ms. Clark is being our secretary this evening, and she's not sure of everybody's names and voices, if you can just state your name, if you are, saying anything, proposing and accepting a new ordinance, approving an ordinance or whatever, just state your name before or after you do it. Thank you. And this board feedback, discussion about revising and updating the fee schedule?
Mr. Chairman, actually, we did discuss this at the last meeting. The board directed me to send the memorandum that I had provided to the board, to the governing body, which I have done. So the governing body now has it. They can take a look at it and see if there's action that they think is appropriate.
Okay. Thank you. Any other business on the board? Nothing at this time. Make a motion to adjourn.
So move, Bombs.
Second, Jasko.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Call to order a regular meeting. Roll call, please.
Mr. Bombs?
Here.
Mr. Dougherty? Mr. Hawley?
Here.
Mr. Knapp?
Here.
Mr. McGoldrick? Mr. Cacamo?
Here.
Mr. Jasko?
Here.
Mr. Kropinski?
Here.
Ms. Majewska?
Here.
Sorry,
that's
okay. Dr. Zuzalak?
Here.
Mr. Curtis? Mr. Burr? Ms. Walker.
Okay. Next item is approval of attorney's voucher for February 2023. I don't think we received this information. Did anybody get it in a packet or electronic?
If not, you should defer it.
Yeah, so I was going to suggest that we not vote on that at this time and defer it to next month. And we have a new board secretary who is still getting used to the position and getting all the information together and such. So she has apologized for not getting the packets out as usual in a timely manner, and some of this information, the minutes, and the attorney's vouchers. So for the next month, we'll be in better shape.
Mr. Chairman, before you go to number four on the regular meeting agenda, if we could bounce down to number eight, which is PB 22-24 Rush Block 96, Lot 156, 2nd Avenue, is an application for bulk and use variance. The applicant did provide the certified mailings to adjacent property owners within 200 feet. However, their publication was not published by the newspaper in time. Although they provided it before the day, the newspaper didn't get it published in time. It was late, and therefore the board doesn't have jurisdiction to hear the application this evening. So it will be, have to be carried. I believe the next meeting is June 1st. And if there's anybody here in the audience who has an interest in this application, the application is not going to be able to be heard this evening. It's going to be carried to June 1, 2023 at 7 o'clock p.m. in the same room. The applicant is going to have to re-notice in the newspaper. The applicant is not going to be sending a new certified mailing because all the property owners did get notice of this evening's meeting so that they could tune in so that there, if there was any adjournment of the meeting, which there is, they would be notified of it. So this is the only notice that you'll get. If you're interested in this application, PB 22-24 Rush 56 2nd Avenue, is being carried to June 1, 2023, 7 o'clock p.m. in this same room. There will be no further notice given to you by certified mailing, only in the newspaper.
Thank you. Okay, so next then, resolution, Emilio's Kitchen, TB 22-20, Block 127, Block 10, 77 Center Avenue, application for variance, granting variance approval. A motion to approve this?
I'll make a motion to approve it. Majewski?
I'll second. Kropinski.
Mr. Hawley?
Yes.
Mr. Josko?
Yes.
Mr. Kropinski?
Yes.
Ms. Majewski?
Yes.
Mr. Curtis is not here. Okay, that is passed.
Next resolution, Inzalco, PB 22-14, Block 87, Lot 2, 38 Asbury Avenue, application for bulk variances, front porch addition, granting variance approval. Motion to accept.
I'll make a motion to accept, Joshua.
I'll second it, Kakma.
Mr. Bombs?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Absent.
Mr. Hawley?
Yes.
Mr. Kakamo?
Yes.
Mr. Josko?
Yes.
Mr. Kropinski?
Yes.
Ms. Majewski?
Yes.
And Dr. Zusilak?
Yes.
That has also passed.
Next is resolution Crocker Enterprises LLC, PB 22-25, Block 115, Lot 7, 67 First Avenue, minor site plan, granting variance and minor site plan approval. Motion for acceptance.
I'll make a motion to approve, Hawley.
Second, Kropinski.
Mr. Bombs?
Yes.
Mr. Hawley?
Yes.
Mr. Kakamo?
Yes.
Mr. Josko?
Yes.
Mr. Kropinski?
Yes.
Ms. Majewski?
Yes.
Dr. Zusilak?
Yes.
Resolution has passed.
Next, PB 22-23, Atlantic Highlands Yacht Club, Block 7, Lot 5.03. 6 Simon Lake Drive, application for minor site plan, carried from the March 2nd meeting, and I guess from last month's meeting. Sure. Mr. Kakamo is stepping down, recusing himself.
Mr. Chairman, this is a continuation hearing of this application. Nelson is here on behalf of the applicant. He's provided me with three additional exhibits that they will be introducing this evening. I've marked them for now, but I suspect that we'll wait for his witness to introduce those documents piece by piece, and then we'll introduce them into the record.
Thank you, Council and Chair. Just give Mr. Stone a minute to set up here, please. For the record, just add this. I believe we were at A9 in the exhibit schedule at the last meeting. Just do one at a time. Through the chair, if I can have Mr. Stone go through the additional exhibits we'd like to provide as part of our presentation. Which we can enter into the record, and to address some of the questions raised at the end of the last meeting regarding some of the residences on Ocean Avenue, or we're willing to, answer those questions before that, whatever order you'd like to go in. We're happy to.
We'll take it in the order you want to present it.
Okay. I think it would be helpful maybe for us to present these exhibits and then entertain additional questions, if that's okay with the chair.
Sure, that's fine.
Okay.
But Mr. Stone, first, you were sworn at the last meeting. You understand you're still under oath.
I do.
And is there some way you could push that exhibit a little bit back and swing it more toward the audience?
Absolutely.
Because they're not able to see it. Either that or move it to the other easel on the opposite side.
Is that good? Here, we could put it on the screen.
Oh, there's the screen?
Okay.
He must be an engineer.
Thank you. That work?
Yeah, you can see it.
Can I saw it out of the way?
That work?
Keep going. Yes,
see us out
there.
Okay. If I could just answer. So this would be exhibit A10. We'll refer to it as a distance exhibit perhaps. Mr. Stone, did you just, is this exhibit A10, was this prepared by yourself?
It was.
Okay, can you just explain what the exhibit reflects and how you prepared it?
Okay, so the exhibit reflects the straight line distance between the proposed deck, the main part of the deck that we proposed on the roof outside of the Atlantic Islands, to two subject properties on Ocean Boulevard. One being 44 Ocean Boulevard, the other one being 50 Ocean Boulevard, because both of those individuals at the last meeting expressed interest in proximity and view, etc.
Are those the closest residences to the proposed deck?
Along with the residents in between them, yes.
Okay. Can you describe what the exhibit shows specifically with respect to the distances outlined on the exhibit?
The distance shows the straight line distance from the primary part of the deck to 44 Ocean Boulevard, being 477 feet. And when it's finished, I'll explain how we arrived at these numbers.
Yes, please do.
And then the second line here shows the distance to 50 Ocean Boulevard, being 530 feet. The way these numbers were determined I went to the GIS site of Mullet County. They have a measurement tool which is fairly accurate on that. And I distributed to the board copies of that GIS map and the distances that it yielded.
So before you proceed, yeah, we have copies of those here.
Yes.
So is the GIS map, what you're referring to or looking at, it appears to me to be an aerial photograph.
That's correct.
So is that aerial photograph is not part of the GIS exhibit?
That's correct.
All right, so we're going to get the GIS exhibit in A11 notation. And why don't you explain what that is, and do you have a board copy of that that the public can see?
I do not have a board copy of the GIS map. I provided that to the board as backup to substantiate the numbers, since to get a straight line measurement between the residences and the actual deck is somewhat physically difficult to get on the set of occurrences, etc. So
what I would like to do then is hand a couple of these copies of these down to Mr. Nelson, so that if anyone from the public wants to see these at close hand, please come up and get a copy so you can look at it.
And Mullet County GIS is the graphic information system site that shows every structure, every lot line, and is scalable.
And this is in two sheets, is that correct?
That's correct, two sheets, one for each of the two properties.
Thank you.
And so, Mr. Stone, the measurements are reflected from the county's GIS system, are reflected from the closest point of the deck to the residences, is that correct? To the actual structures of the residence?
Yeah, the closest point of the primary part of the deck, there's a little section of 9 foot here that goes away from the building. It's really behind the building itself. So I took it from the primary part of the deck, an area where we're gonna have sound and absorptive panels.
Anything else you'd like to add about this exhibit, or are you ready to move on to that?
I just explained where the photo came from. It came from Google Earth. They're readily available. And then I did add to it a scale version of the plan for the deck and the existing plan of the yacht club on the roof, so that that was clear as far as how much of the roof it actually occupied it.
Okay. All right, go to next exhibit. Yep. Exhibit A12, which is an aerial of the roof of the Shore Casino, showing the area of the proposed deck.
Now, I've been given a series of four exhibits, starting with what you have on the board. Are there three others that go with this that appear like architectural renderings? Can we give them a single marking, which is going to be where we at, A12? And that's going to be A12, A through D. And let me pass those out to the board as well and give some copies to you. Mr. Nelson, now let me hold on to that when I marked it.
You have all these on the board. There's four.
I do.
So we do have all of these exhibits, all A through D.
Okay, so they'll all go up on the board.
Yeah.
So the audience.
So they'll be up on the board. So. Okay. So we'll refer to this as Exhibit A12A, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Mr. Stone, could you explain what this Exhibit A12A shows and how it was prepared?
And this is an aerial view, once again taken from Google Earth, of the roof of the Shore Casino. Shows the entire roof outline of the Shore Casino. This black line over here is just the shadow of the actual roof. Stops right there. This is the canopy. This is the existing yacht club. This is the waiting area. And then the shaded area here is the proposed deck. You can see there's numerous pieces of equipment up on the roof. They're all existing. And I added this overlay just to make it very clear as to where the existing club is and where the proposed deck is planned to be.
And this was part of prior testimony, but relative to the overall area of the roof, what is the coverage of the deck area compared to the roof?
The deck of the total roof area is 5% approximately.
And that's approximately how many square feet? That's a part of the prior
testimony. 860 square feet.
Okay. And what's the approximate square footage of the entire roof area of the Shore Casino building?
Roughly 29,000 square feet. Or
okay. Anything else you feel that would be value to add to this exhibit, or?
No, I provided just so we can see, you know, significant amounts of equipment, large HVAC units. This one is 5.5 feet tall. Just sit on the existing roof. That was primarily, really, just to clarify the extent of the deck and its location on the existing over the existing roof of the insurance center.
You want to bring up the next exhibit in this packet?
Sure, I'll put up the stuff would be this. I apologize, the board has had a curve that I'm not used to being mounted for a month. Which might use the amount of the name shown.
So this would be Exhibit A12B. Mr. Stone, could you just explain what this exhibit shows?
This is an overall architectural floor plan showing the full extent of the proposed deck here and the existing club and the proposed improvement of the emergency egress over the roof. I provided this because at the last meeting, I had only shown a partial plan of the roof, which caused some confusion. So I wanted to make it very clear. And if you look at your pack, you'll see in your package, I put this plan upside down because it related to the aerial. So the aerial is north, is up, and my plans are south, is up. So that was just for clarity when you flip through, it makes more sense. Even when you turn things upside down, makes the plan make more sense. That's the purpose of this, just for clarity, so everyone understands the quantity of the roof that's covered and where the deck is.
Okay. This exhibit will be this one here. So this would be Exhibit A12C, which is a southern elevation of the Shore Casino. If you could explain, Mr. Stone, what this exhibit shows.
Okay, this exhibit shows the entire extent of the rear wall, the south wall of the Shore Casino. That stretches over here to the west. Goes all the way over here to the east. There's a notch in it here, and then it goes out. This is on the second floor. This is the yacht club. It's forward here and comes back at this point to go deeper. And this is behind the club. You see the presses going up and down. This is an open tie rod. There's roof on that plane, but nothing on this tie rod. Same thing there. And then we have metal roofing in that big rod pattern. Open north and south for view and light. This is the yard arm on the north side of the deck proposed. And then this is the sound reduction panels, 8 foot tall, that we intend to put on the south side of the deck to reduce the noise transmission.
And just to be clear, this is the elevation that a person standing along Ocean Avenue would see, correct?
If you could see it.
Yeah, if you could see it from Ocean Avenue.
There's a lot of trees there.
But this would be the what generally people would consider the rear elevation.
Rear elevation, yeah. Yes. Most clearly observed when you're three quarters way down the pathway. Okay. Next to the tennis court.
Okay. All right. And then you want to do Exhibit A12C next. That's the elevation here. Is it just a full
stuff? I didn't plot that one. I didn't plot that one on the large.
Okay.
Right.
I mean, it's just Exhibit A, just if you could just describe what it is and just, it's pretty, it's just a zoomed in copy of the...
The last plan only shows an enlarged version to this line right here. So this part's enlarged, it doesn't show the rest.
I mean, you could probably hold this up here.
Yes.
If you want to, it's pretty big for the screen. This is Exhibit A12D, which is just a zoomed-in version of Exhibit A12C, showing the southern elevation. So,
just a partial southern elevation.
Okay. All right. We have a couple of images. Okay. Images. Yeah. We have a... image exhibits, which would be A13.
13? Four of them?
Yeah, four pages, so A through D.
This is a view from the deck or port, the eastern portion at 44 Ocean Boulevard. I was on site Tuesday with my surveying equipment, actually know how to use. And we were shooting some grade from the back of the short casino all the way up the pathway. And I saw the owners of 44 Ocean Boulevard, and they invited me to come on their deck and see the view. I asked them if I could take some photos, and they obliged. So this is a photo from their deck. I included the porch to get some scale of, you know, this is the porch and here we are. And then we added to this, if you look kind of closely, you can see the proposed trusses here. You see the, off in the distance, skyline of Brooklyn over here. You see the seawall here. You see the piles and the other docks out here. And you see that you can see through, for the most part, from this angle, and the roof. You see the flagstaff here, yardarm, on the north side of the deck. You see the back wall of the short casino here. And you see the notch out where the bathrooms are.
And Mr. Stone, this picture's taken, this is the closest residence in the way the crow flies to the proposed deck.
That's right. 477 feet from our... from the deck there, the fence is going, sound fence, to the house, 477 feet.
Okay. Then you took this photograph yourself on here. Yeah. Anything else you think that should be added to describe this?
New York City is about right there.
And just so you're clear for the record, you're pointing at this grouping of trees?
Yes.
Okay. This is the image here. So this would be Exhibit A13B. Mr. Stone, can you just describe what Exhibit A13B shows?
Okay, we had a professional photographer take a drone shot from the south facade wall at the back of the Shore Casino, looking toward where our deck would be in this area. To see, you know, the equipment is there right now. This particular air conditioner is about 5.5 feet tall off of the roof. This is one of the air conditioners for the club here. Right now, this is the pathway for egress. That's the existing egress there. So I provided this as a suggestion. The professional photographer took this on Tuesday also. And just to see what's on that roof right now, what it looks like now.
The existing conditions.
Yes, the existing conditions. Okay.
All right, and next exhibit. Okay, so this would be the next, another, we have another image, exhibit A13C, which I'll let Mr. Stone describe. Once you have it there.
Let's see which one that is.
It's the, from 4407.
Okay, got it. Okay, this is another photograph taken from the porch at 44 Ocean Avenue. They have a section of, for the steps are, this was taken from the head of the steps, looking toward the yacht club, which is here. This is where the proposed deck extension would be, or your deck. These are all the linden trees in their way. But yeah, that's what they would see. And also, I'll get back to the survey I did the other day. It turns out that their deck level is within 10 inches of the roof height of our second floor yacht club. So when they're standing, their eyesight, assuming a 54-inch eyesight more or less, would be about a foot below the ridge of our proposed, you know, the pointed part of our deck cover.
Yeah, Mr. Stone, when was this photograph taken by you, and when was it taken?
I took this photograph personally. It was taken Tuesday afternoon with the owners.
No, the Tuesday, the May 2nd.
Correct.
Okay, and so are the trees in the photograph, are they fully bloomed yet?
No,
or?
No, they're in bud.
Okay. Anything else you think should be added to this image to describe about this image?
Yeah, just a lot of trees.
Okay.
Unfortunately. But a lot of you walk to the northeast, and you know, it's, you can see you just have the horizon line through the trusses and the gables.
All right.
We're going to try to calculate the curvature of the earth over there and see how much.
Approximately, yeah, it's approximately 1/10 of a mile, right?
I'm talking about this to New York City.
No, to New York City. Gotcha.
I think there's one more, right?
Yes, there's one more. This would be exhibit A13D. Which is another photographic image, which I will ask Mr. Stone to describe.
Okay, this is also a drone shot. This is taken by Jeff Smith, professional photographer with his drone. He took it on the edge of the Hudson Trail, adjacent to the western portion of the lot line of 50 Ocean Boulevard. Now, this individual expressed a concern about what he might see from the second floor of his home. So Jeff elevated the drone to approximately second floor level and then took a picture toward the yacht club. We didn't add the, you know, the rendering in here because it can only do so much.
And this is roughly, this drone image is roughly taken from the Henry Hudson Trail, which is located in front of the residence,
correct?
Okay.
Exactly.
Or in the rear, depending upon which, the
yeah.
Of course,
I mean, we didn't
feel
really comfortable we want to fly on the property or anything like that. I didn't think that would be a good idea.
Anything else you'd like to describe about this image? Or?
Well, the if you look at this, you can see, you see the side of it above here, you see this deck come out here, and, you know, the roof structure would be in this area. So, and, you know, the second floor is over in New York, it's here. And the linden trees are no longer an issue for this particular property there. So that, you know, this view, I think that one of the things that was expressed at the last meeting was, you know, what they were going to see inside. And I think if you look at the prior picture of the eight-foot fence and the angle, you're not really going to see anything, and it's a long way away.
What would you, I don't believe you have a measurement, but what would you believe the approximate distance from the Henry Hudson Trail to the actual residence is from where this shot was taken on the bike drone?
I'd say it's about 430 feet, roughly. That's about 100, that residence is about 100 foot back from the front line, more or less.
So this would be approximately 100 feet closer than what someone on the second floor of the home would actually see.
That's correct.
Okay. Okay. Anything else you'd like to add regarding the image, or is that it?
I think
all right, I believe that's it for the additional exhibits we have, Chairman. That will conclude our presentation for this meeting, and take direction from the chair as to opening up to public questions.
Okay.
Or questions from the board.
Open up for the board questions. I have one. Can you elaborate some more on the sound absorbing barriers that you're putting up? Yeah, the size of them, what they're made of, the thickness.
The sound absorbing panels are going to be 8 foot tall. They're going to be recorded in metal. And inside they'll have mass loaded vinyl and sound absorbing fat material, and probably also a layer of cement board. Okay. With sound, you're trying to get sound to go into the barrier, then you're trying to absorb it, and then you're trying to stop it. The mass loaded vinyl is extremely effective for that. Also, heavy material like a cement board would be effective. Our objective, of course, would be to find, you know, a manufactured product that we would just put up. We would also treat the door going from, you know, for the emergency egress. That would also be you know, sound absorbing. And I recognize there will be flanking noise that will go over it, around it. But, you know, if we were to close up the gables, okay, in the truss, that would certainly cut down airflow and also would reduce the view, particularly for 44 as a revolver. You would not obviously be able to see through that if it was covered.
If you have music or something going on the deck, that'd be facing towards the water?
Yes. If we look at the plan here, originally we were going to have this just as a theater principle here. Then when a concern was brought up about sound, we augmented the deck to include this area, and we intend to assign that as the designated music setup area if there is music. Okay, that's against the North Wall of the Club, and it just makes sense. Because when I started to look at it after there was some concern raised, well, where are we going to put the van if we had a van? And not that we have vans all the time, we usually have maybe two guitar guys or something. But anyway, it'd be there, or it'd be there, or it'd be there, and you know, those were all bad choices. So I thought that the best choice would be, let's spend a little more money, make the deck a little larger there, and make a designated area for the for any musician or music that would be out on the deck.
Thank you.
The sound-absorbing panels, due to the elements of the salt and the wind and everything else, what's the life expectancy? I mean, do they change frequently?
We haven't selected the panel yet. Typically, they absorb the panel low side 5 decibels, high side 20 decibels for the install. So we just have to do some work. I mean, on the simplest side, they have, you know, your typical fence. and they put a, like an insulated blanket on the opposite side. I did that, in effect, for a sound control tent at Seabird. My clients owned a home right next to the church, and the church changed the air conditioning units, and they were much louder. So they paid, you know, my client paid to put up the fence with this mass-loaded vinyl and polyester and filled material. In this particular case, you're not going to see any blankets like that because it would all be built into, you know, two-surface element.
Yeah, I know we're all talking about the aesthetics and the sound and all of that, but I still have the concern with the stability of the structure, and we haven't still seen any geotech surveys or anything. What is underneath this ground that we're going to put these footings to?
That's before we build anything, before we, you know, get into all the engineering, we'll have to do borings and soil tests and things like that. So that's step number one.
So I have done down here a lot. There's a lot of fluid soil down here. And I don't know how, what kind of footings. Are they spread footings under the existing building? Or the piles with spread footings? Or is it just footings? Or
I don't know what's there. There are no plans available. We did a search for them. Even asked Jay, and Jay was cooperative, and he came up with nothing. And so since we don't know, we can't rely on what's there, which is why we came up with a scheme to go over, do our own footings. My guess is that we'll have to put mini piles in. If you ever use those, we'll maybe under each footing we might have 4 to 6 mini piles, depending upon what we find. And then that would be tied into a pile cap, basically, would be our footing. And
but that would be my recommendation, to have that, if it does get approved, to have that done prior with the okay of Mr. Wollmeyer to review that.
I agree. Does have to occur.
And that would have to happen for permitting purposes.
That's my concern, is what's underneath, what's going to hold this structure, especially with those, in essence, the covering of sails, and what the environmental load is going to be on that.
Right. We also intend to have a special engineering report done for the roof, being that it is, you know, exposed above and below. One of the things we did accommodate is that I've done some projects in Bermuda, and they tend to rely upon a 9-foot pitch for the roof, which is what we incorporated. For whatever reason, they feel that that's the best angle for the roof, at least not of the roof. So,
but that's where I'm at with the safety and the stability of this, not so much with the sound and the aesthetics and everything.
Understood 100%.
Any other questions from the board?
If I remember correctly, the last time, the east side of the building, the structural support's going down on the outside of the building.
That's correct.
The other one's going inside by the staircase?
Inside, just outside of our entry door, and just before the other door to the, like, intermediate lobby. Okay, you come through a door that's where our sign is. And then there, inside of that lobby, there are two sets of doors to go into the, one goes into the galleon room, a double door, and another double door goes into what they call the mid ballroom, or mid room.
So you'd have to actually put floor or some piles in there as well?
We do. We have to cut the floor out and put piles in, and that intermediate hallway, we're going to mess that up, and then we'll have to put it back together.
That's something that had been coordinated with the existing restaurant there, so you don't interfere with any other parties or whatever you have.
Obviously. When and if it becomes necessary, we will do that. Absolutely, yeah. And just a side note, we put some mini piles project in Redfoot, Brooklyn. And the drilling rig that they used goes right through a 36-inch drawing. So, that can work. So we've got surprises or access problems of that type of thing.
Mr. Wollmeyer, do you have any questions?
Thank you. So we went through my technical report from December 28th at the last hearing, but I think it would be beneficial if you clarified just one more time specifically where the soundproofing is going to be located. I recognize that approximately half of the structure, proposed structure, is going to be adjoining to the existing building, but the soundproofing, could you just describe that for everybody's benefit?
Okay, first, I'll draw it on the roof plan here, the sound absorbing panels. Is that this one? Okay, and that's in plan. And then if we were to look at the picture from there, these are all the sound absorbing panels going there. Looks very much like a fence. Okay, typically perforated, both sides. As I stated, they'll have sound absorbing material inside. Also, what's called mass-loaded vinyl, and probably some layers of cement board, trying to, you know, kill the sound in multiple ways. So there's blocking and absorbing, two different ways of controlling sound.
And Mr. Stone, on the east side, the portion of the proposed deck that's in very close proximity to the edge of the building, that you, at the last hearing, you discussed that being somewhat enclosed by a vinyl or some sort of material to stop any objects from falling over the edge of the building. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Our plan would be, you can see the ziggurat. If you're familiar with the Atlantic House, they have a folding wall, glass wall, and the more we discussed it, that would be our plan at this point. We'll put a stacking folding glass wall along that side with, you know, resistant, shatter resistant glass to keep things from going through and also block the wind. We had talked originally about a roll down vinyl closure, but after a couple of years they go bad and look yellow and don't look good. Look at off the deck.
And the remaining sides of the proposed deck, the north side and the west side, will remain open at all times, right? It's not going to be enclosed or heated and become...
We have no plans to enclose it, and that it's not designed to be enclosed.
Thank you. It's all for right now.
I have a question. You might have answered this. I'm sorry. I don't remember the last name, but can you speak to the plan for the flooring?
Oh, the flooring is going to be a waterproof coating. Okay, most likely it will be a practicable urethane deck coating. Okay, urethane is excellent because it has 200% elongation. We haven't determined all the sub materials at this point, but we're definitely going to start out with the urethane deck coating. At someday we may upgrade that to have tile over, but we can design it so that that could be added later over like a shoulder system.
So there is a potential that tile would be added at some point?
There is a potential it could be added at some point.
And the drainage component of it would be incorporated into that plan?
Absolutely.
Process.
Yeah. It would be pitched, there would be drains. Typically, we don't expect to see a lot of water on it other than, you know, flowing through. The roof is going to have a collection system, and it's going to drain to the existing roof collection system that is there, which is over surface.
The collection system, is it meant to be any sort of like green infrastructure, or is it intended to just be like a gray feature that's going to capture and then move the water away from the deck?
You mean like a blue roof type thing? Or,
yeah.
We don't have the capability for that because...
I was just curious, like what was the plan was? If it was like intended to be something of like a green roof or a blue roof, or is it... Is the drainage just going to be
We're not adding or removing any roof surface area. So we're going to, you know, rely upon the existing...
And upgrade it to the increased movement of water, because we're changing the drainage path by putting the deck there. So the water's going to flow a little bit differently.
It'll be concentrated maybe a little bit in some areas, yeah.
Yeah.
Our plan would be to pipe it directly to the existing drains.
Okay.
So that it comes out, the same amount of water comes out of the same drains. It's just collected in a different way.
Okay.
Okay.
Any other questions from the board? Any questions from a member of the public for this witness? Yes, sir. Please state your name and address.
Aaron Jankowski, 50 Ocean Boulevard.
Yes.
Hi,
Aaron. I'd just like to, I'm sorry, excuse me. Just like to reinforce that this is for questions only this period, not for comments. So if anyone, you know, raise your hand and want to speak, it must be with a question. I'm sorry.
Okay. I have a few questions. So
yeah.
The pictures we showed, yeah, you took from 44th
Ocean Boulevard.
Yes. And the other one from the front of my house. Did you use a wide angle lens? There was not many, but everything is so far beyond out of the eye can see.
There's one lens for the drone camera, and it takes shots. If we let's take a look at the. So this picture was taken with I understand. I'm saying this picture was taken with the same lens as the other picture. Okay, so if we look at that.
Proposed Is that a new flagpole higher than the old?
To be a new flagpole. The top elevation of that, you can see, shown here. The top elevation of that flagpole does not exceed the top elevation of the existing flagpole. Okay, if we could make certain of that.
You said there will be bands outside?
There might be new light entertainment. There might be occasional light entertainment. It's not like we do it on a regular basis.
Last time we spoke about on the deck.
That's right.
And I'm not sure what the answer was. Do they have live entertainment outside today? Or not today, but when they were open?
They have had that, yes.
Have you seen it yourself in person?
No.
Yes. I'm sorry. Mr. Stein and Mr. Chairman, last time everybody else was answering except this gentleman. They haven't been sworn in. We don't know who they are. I would ask that they stop answering those questions.
Understood. The audience should withhold comments. If you want to make comments, there'll be an opportunity later to make comments. The board should disregard any outbursts from the audience.
Did the same question other people answered last time? No. And that's why I'm asking again. So you haven't seen any person on the deck if they have a band outside or not. You just know about it?
That's right.
What's the purpose of, I'm not asking my question in any particular order, just what's the purpose of having this deck outside? Other than just, you know, it's nice to be outside.
Well, we're a yachtsman. We sail. We like to be outdoors. We're outdoors people. I believe that a counselor asked me last time if I had been to a yacht club that did not have an outdoor space. And other than Atlantic Island Yacht Club, no, I have not been to a yacht club that does not have an outdoor space.
So that's the reason?
We love the outdoors.
You can step out. Can you step out instead of this expensive roof on top?
We cannot build a deck on top of the structures there because we have no record of what is built of in the footings, and also the current structure of the roof is inadequate for any roof deck type structure. So typically in a situation like this, we would go over the columns. We try to find out what the footings are. We have to do borings and identify what the soil bearing capacity was. Then we have to rate that the footing was capable for bearing an additional load. Outdoor assembly load is 100 pounds per square foot just for people. Okay. The existing roof has a total design load of approximately 35 pounds per square foot. So obviously we're not going anywhere near that. Since there's no information relative to the structure of the building, we cannot step up from the existing columns and build it that way. So we're left with, if we want to build something, we have to bridge over it and make our own structure, which hence the roof. That's why we need the roof structure. It's a large truss, kind of like a railroad truss, is the best way to think of it.
So you're building, and this is a yes or no question, you're building like a cage outside to hold it?
Essentially a bridge.
I'm sorry.
A bridge.
It's a bridge. And what will happen when, how long will it last? This bridge.
No longer than you are, not. But yeah, it will be designed to last.
Was that a question for me, or
you're no? It will be designed to last. It's not a sort of disposable thing. It will be designed for 100 years.
That's just me. And what will happen if the lease ends and decide that you don't have enough members inside building, what will happen to the structure? Will you be taking it down or maybe? I cannot answer that. That's up to lease negotiations. And I mean, this is the beginning. This is the beginning of, can we possibly do it? Okay, what happens with the disposition of it later and how it gets paid for and et cetera? That's all lease negotiation. I cannot answer that. I would think that it would be left up unless someone decided to knock the entire building down. In fact, they might knock the entire building down and leave our bridge. You never know. It's not going to come.
You have a liquor license?
We do for consumption on the purposes, of members and member guests.
Will you be extending the premises to the outside?
No.
In other words, not serving?
I mean, oh, you mean, I thought you meant by outside people. No, yes, we will certainly be serving drinks outside.
You had no concern about noise coming off on the east side? You're not putting the wall there?
On the east side, we plan to put the folding glass wall there. That will absorb some sound, certainly. So, yeah, there will be some barrier there. But when you work, yeah, we think that that's area for sound. We could deploy that and have it closed. And that would reduce, I can't put a number exactly out, but I'd say 3-4 decibels going that direction. Okay.
This question, have you done any noise analysis?
Basic noise analysis, the decay rate of sound is 6 decibels per distance double. So let's say that we have a musician playing on the deck. And let's say, for instance, that our soundproof sound reducing wall reduces the sound by 10 decibels, okay, which is a reasonable assumption. Okay, so if we, let's say they're generating 80 to 85 decibels of sound, 80 decibels is sound level of traffic in the city, okay? So on the other side of that barrier, we would expect to see about 75 decibels of sound, more or less, okay, if it was a fairly, you know, for us, a loud situation. So it's, the code says we should be at the maximum 50 decibels at the edge of our property. Edge of our property is approximately, it's your property, is 370 feet, something like that. So let's say at the edge of the roof we're 40 foot away. Okay, so now at 40 foot, let's say we measure 70 decibels. Now we go another 80 feet. Okay, now it's 6 decibels less. Okay, then we go another 160. It's another 6 decibels less. It just keeps getting decay rate of sound. 6 decibels and knowing distance.
Then if that's the case, can you explain why when at on the deck it put band inside, open the doors, nothing outside, and I hear it loud in my house with the windows shut? Can you explain how that can happen, if that's how it propagates?
Yes, it does. Must be very loud.
Have you done any studies in terms of noise propagating in an amphitheater? And I'm going to explain why I'm asking that question. We're on a hill like an amphitheater. Somebody talking down below by the boats, we hear what they're saying. I can hear what they're saying even with my not so good ears. So that's what I meant by a study. Have you studied what the noise sound is going to be up there?
We can only use tables. Okay, the only way to, other way to test it is set up a band, get outside, put up a soundproof wall, raise it up to a specific level, and then go measure it. And I think I mentioned last time that sound travels better when it's going with the wind. Okay, and you said the flag is always going to be the west. Okay, I neglected to pull off the weather
survey, but since I raised elbows, I can tell you the wind blows more direct. Okay, but, so, you know, who knows?
More from the west. Well, this is why airplanes land runway 927.
And then, well, then maybe blow past your house. Any event, one of the things that we're concerned, we want to be good neighbors. We don't want to be loud. We're not loud people. We're not, you know, hellions with loud rock music all night. The attendance at the club over the past 4 months, the maximum number of people there on average was 67, and the lowest was maybe average for month 34. So it's not like it's packed with bills. Okay, we've had entertainment, but it's been a couple of guys with guitars. Okay, so it's not the, you know, it's not the DJ Willie with the, you know, big amps and all that kind of stuff.
What about drunk people? The other night, sorry.
They're actually.
A trained bartender for that?
It actually has never been a problem. It's never, ever been a problem.
I remember the route. What's the purpose? Is that you were showing, as I'm asking, you were showing how the height was the height of my second floor or something. What about, or maybe for the addition, what about the view behind it? Because we're typically not looking to see the sky or New York. We want to see the water. And the water is actually below the horizon. So that's the reason I'm asking about the roof. Okay, this is a view more or less from your second floor, standing in the second floor. So, there's the work. This is kind of wide angle, very, very wide angle. I'll come back.
I'm going to question it. Chair, I just want to make sure where this is questions and not comments. Correct, Chair.
These are questions. Sometimes it sounds like I'm making a statement. I'm reserving that for last, but if it leads to a question, I need to say it.
So I drew on there more or less.
You put that to the scale?
No, more or less.
More or
less. I'm an architect for 40 years.
More
I get it pretty hard.
Yeah.
Here's the roof right here. That peak is 5'2" above that. Okay? I gave it a little less, about 7 there.
Have you discussed this project with Harvard Commission?
Absolutely.
Can you tell us what they said?
They were a letter of approval.
Can we see a copy of it?
I'm sure you could. For that.
You have it.
I listened to the minutes.
Mr. Jim Goshen, let me just stop you for a moment. The letter from the Harbor Commission is dated February 17, 2023. It was entered in evidence at the last meeting. It's Exhibit A8.
It's recent.
It's from February. It was entered in evidence last month's meeting.
It was part of our application package in addition to the consent. In addition to the consent of the borough.
It's part of the application package, yes.
So I would have to request a copy of the application.
You can view the application in the board office.
So it's been added to the application on Saturday.
It's been with the application for several months.
Okay.
Here, I'll give.
I looked at it. I missed it. So
there's a copy of it.
Yeah. Look at it. Maybe I should do this so I don't slow me down too much.
Any other questions for anyone in the public? Yes, sir.
What is the current?
Sir, would you identify yourself, name and address?
John Geisler, first of all, this is a town, real estate agent. I just wanted to know what the current code of decibels creates and noise emissions. So what is the level that is considered a problem?
The town does have a noise ordinance.
Right.
Honestly, I don't know it offhand, but
it's governed by NJDEP regulations, and there's a daytime and a nighttime levels, and I don't know those offhand, but I think that Mr. Rohmeyer does.
I'm also curious as to what time the decibel changes. Like, I know at 10:30 at night, generally in some municipalities, it changes from 85 decibels inside your house with the windows closed to lower, like 65 after 10:30 p.m. Is that kind of ordinance that you have?
I'll defer to Mr. Rohmeyer, but I think it's at the property line that it's measured.
Correct.
Correct. So the noise generating activity, whatever property it's on, one of the regulations discussed is continuous airborne sound with a sound level in excess of 50 decibels. So there's, you can't have continuous airborne sound exceeding 50 decibels at the property line. And still comply with the performance standards. So,
okay, that's during the day, is that correct?
Our code doesn't differentiate.
So in other words, I have a jackhammer that would have to be about 50 decibels, and the jackhammer is about 40 to 50 decibels. So, you know, it's 60 or 70 when you're on it. So with the drop off. So
that's a great,
in other words,
great
I can
point.
Use the jackhammer in the Atlantic Islands.
You can use a jackhammer. If you read the full code, it's very long, 150, 67 performance standards for noise. There's exceptions for things of that nature.
Right.
Sirens, church bells,
okay,
construction equipment. But then there's a whole section that aligns with DEP noise control regulations that discuss different frequencies and decibel levels. So at the end of the day, every activity within the borough has to comply with the performance standards, right? So if there becomes an issue, if this is approved and it becomes an issue, then it would have to be, a determination would have to be made if they complied or not. This board can't grant relief from the performance standards.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And they're held to the same standard at the upper as the Atlantic House, right? What is the distance from the Atlantic House to the nearest apartment across the street? What's the distance across the street of the commercial First Avenue?
I don't
Joe
know.
Joe had mentioned last month that that's the area that's commercial, it's lit, it's the sidewalks are wider, it's 160 feet across the street of First Avenue. So, are you saying that the sound ordinance from the bar drops off 160 feet? That stays. My question is, has there been an excessive point that the Atlantic House has had a noise problem at 160 feet?
We don't know that. That's something that code enforcement would have to look at. Or
maybe my question is, has the code forced them to change their open air?
We don't know that in this board. That's not a part of what we would handle and involved in from this board. Yes.
My name is James Davis. I live in Highlands, but I've abode here in Atlantic Highlands for the last 48 seasons. My question is, I've seen a lot of what, you know, we're doing toward the houses. We have 700 tenants in that harbor. What are we doing for them, noise-wise?
Mr. Stone, has any consideration been given to that?
Well, we don't think we are noise polluters. So we haven't really broached that subject. We didn't think that it was going to be a problem.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mark Fisher, 91 3rd Avenue. Couple of questions for Mr. Stone. You said you had entertainment at times, two guitar players, so you were having any foreign instruments?
I'm not aware of.
Okay, so with two guitar players playing, why you were having a party, having drinks, having to get together, could you talk to
yes.
the person next to you comfortably?
Absolutely.
Okay. That's all the questions I have.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Can I answer?
What? Yes, sir.
Yes, Christian Marston, Diego Boulevard. You talked about the sound being measured at the property line. There is at least a property line question, but we would measure that sound.
It would be at the end of your property line, okay, or in connection with the property. Okay, so 30 acres further down. So you're
the house next door.
House next door to you. Right. Okay, so you are
questions. Yes, Brent.
Can we just
yes, a name and excuse me,
Chairman, just a procedural question. Mr. Takamo is a member of the board, correct?
Yes, he is.
And did Mr. Takamo recuse himself from this hearing?
Yes, he has.
Yeah. Okay, I just want the record to reflect that. Thank yeah. you.
That's correct. The record should also reflect that he is a property owner within 200 feet and therefore is an interested party by yeah. definition in the MLUL.
I understand.
Chris, could you tell me how the building is located compared to where the houses are located?
The Shore Casino building and the yacht club is essentially due north of the properties.
Okay. The way the Shore Casino building is located on in the harbor is that the top part, the yacht club, the taller part, is located with that 4th Avenue pathway there. And right at the edge of my house to the right, that's the flat area.
Is this a question, Chairman?
And the other side is flat. So the houses that are on the hill there, there's less impact of their view okay. of the harbor. That's the way the building is located in the harbor. To have the least impact.
Is there a question?
Do you know that?
I'm not aware that that was considered.
Right, so your deck is not taking in consideration of any of our houses, right?
Absolutely is.
In which way?
Let me look at this picture. You see that it's open. You can actually see through it. If we didn't care, we can close it right off.
Well, you're also putting that wall that he's building, that soundproof wall, is 41 feet, correct?
impressed by 8 feet.
It's 8 feet by, it's about 41 foot, it's pretty.
That's a pretty big walkway.
Yes.
That obstructs our view. And I noticed when we were looking at that picture, you said it was a shame that all the streets were there blocking our view too. So now we're just going to have to report. I guess it's going to be a shame in that, that wall's there too.
This is a comment or question, Chairman?
Please give us your question.
Okay. Sorry. The steel structure on the side, on the east side of the house, of the building.
Right here, yes.
Yeah, it's going next to the building.
Right.
It's going to approach on that road, correct?
No.
It's going to be in the, it's going to approach away from the building. It's going to approach, the building's here, fixed building, it's going to approach, the building's going to approach towards the road more.
The curb extends, yeah, 15 inches from the building to the curb.
Okay.
Okay, the columns are 10 by 10. We tend to pour concrete between them in case someone hits them so that they aren't knocked over.
Okay, so it's an egress road. What is the code that the setback has to be for an egress road? For a permanent structure?
This is a private lot. What would be in
now, does
Mr. Romeyer fit the
yeah. Now, my concern is, approaching.
Good question. Yeah.
Now, is there, should there be a setback? What is the code for the setback for the egress? I know when you have a driveway, it's 5 feet, right? What's the setback for that? He's actually going to be 1 inch from the road when he's done. And I don't even know if that's true because he's putting up the.
The question is okay. A lot of comment here.
You want to break that down into
like he's approaching on that egress by code. What is the requirement for the setback from an egress to a permanent fixture?
So your question is, are we encroaching upon the egress? Then the answer is no. It's 16 inches. Our columns are 10 by 10. So the answer is no.
Now, I don't think that's correct. You're approaching on
it. Doug, before you jump in, I don't remember whether you were sworn at the last hearing. If you were, you're still under oath, but let's re-swear you anyway.
Yep.
Do you either swear or affirm that any testimony you give in connection with this proceeding would be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do. Doug Romeyer, Ford engineer. So I asked this question at the last hearing. Will the column impact the travel lane itself? And the answer was no. The column is not proposed to be proud of the curb line. It's not at the corner, so I don't see any issue with site distance or impacting the site triangles, but I think your concern is the proximity of it to the curb line itself, right? So, Mr. Stone, is there any protective measures you're putting in place to
yes,
protect
sir.
The columns in the event that a vehicle go over the curb itself?
Our intention is to cast concrete between the columns on the outside and between them to tie it into an integral structure so that they cannot be taken out by an errant pickup truck and upward.
And then do you have information on the actual width of the travel lane itself? Does that show up on your survey? It's not a substandard aisle, is it?
No, it's not a substandard. I believe it to be 50 feet. It's at least 40. I know that. I don't have that information because I didn't think it was significant, but I have it in AutoCAD, but I cannot answer that right now.
Mr. Takamo, there are instances you could see in some of the exhibits of elements, you know, decorative, landscape, structures, there's columns, you see utility poles and stuff within proximity to the edge of the curb itself, so I don't see an issue with the columns being placed there relative to safety with the aisle itself.
Okay, so the column will be how many inches from the road?
It's 16 inches from the building to the curb, assuming that we do not go into the building at all, which we could hypothetically go in, but assuming that we don't, it's completely on the outside, we get 16 minus 10, right? So we've got 10, 6 inches left, we're right behind the curve.
I didn't measure that, but all right, another thing. So the structure you're building is going to be in motion, it's going to move, it's going to flex, correct?
Some flex, so sir.
Okay. I noticed on the some of your renderings, you're showing horizontal braces, top and bottom, on the east side. On the west side, you're showing just the top braces. What's happening below and inside the structure?
Since we haven't designed it yet, I'm not over. We have to design the entire structure. Okay, that right now this is a proposal to see if it's a possibility. Okay, and I spoke to my engineer. He said, "Yeah, we can do that." Okay, so I'm taking that as work because he is very good. So yeah, it will be built to code. It will be engineered properly, and those matters certainly won't be an issue. I don't want that to be an issue. My license is on the line, so I won't allow that.
Okay. About the roof.
Yes.
Okay, so using this bellow flashing, correct?
Oh, you mean to flash down to the existing roof?
Yes, existing roof. Existing roof, you're taking the responsibility of that roof.
That's correct.
Okay, and that roof is the way it's designed. It's not glued down, it's supposed to go up and down. You know, it's not glued down. It actually, the roof floats on top of it.
I'm not aware of what the roof is wrong.
The type of roof that's there, it's not a glued down roof. It's designed when high winds, there's vent pipes in the roof. So the roof
actually
floats. Yeah. My question is that those bellows are going to restrict that from happening.
We're going to put a high roof on it.
All right. Okay, the deck roof, okay? You're going to have a lot of things that are going to be going through that roof, correct?
No.
Beams?
No.
Bolts?
No.
How does the whole steel structure get attached to the roof?
It doesn't. It bridges over.
Okay, what about the...
Two columns go through it?
Well, all these roofs are here. You're showing them settings on the roof.
No, that's the thing. Those two penetrate through. Nothing else penetrates through the roof. Those two penetrate through.
What happens to your rail get to that?
Expansion from the deck, which is steel. So a steel structure above the existing roof. We're not going to touch the existing roof. We're going to be at least 2.5 inches above the existing roof everywhere.
And your roof is, you're not going to put any holes in your roof. Your rail or anything like that.
It's only going to be mounted to our bridge structure. We're building a bridge over the existing
roof. I understand that. Okay, so you're building a bridge, right? How does this structure get mounted to the bridge? And I'm trying to figure out how you're sealing up those connections with the roof. If you have a steel beam here, how are you sealing that up?
We're going to go through the roof. Right. On the west side only with two beam penetrations, two.
Right.
And then we're going to seal that with the best beam possible. Okay, in the old days, it's pickpocket. There are all sorts of new flashings which are better, but it will be sealed there.
Okay, on your rendering, you're showing posts here.
They sit on the deck.
They sit on the deck.
All right.
Are they bolted to the deck?
They'll be welded or bolted. Typically, I like to go on the outside instead of on top if I have a workroom. I'll weld the tab on the outside and put the vertical post up so that I'm not penetrating any of the surface waterproofing of the roof. That's typically what I do. Okay, that's a detail that will determine after we get into detail and designing the deck. There will be exactly two penetrations.
So nothing's going to be attached to the deck. I still don't understand it. You have a flat roof. You have to attach the rail to something. Where do you attach it? You're attaching it to?
I have steel on the outside. that'd be exposed in certain areas, you know, well, for that.
Okay, so you have a seal on the inside?
Even if I were to go through the work with him, okay, I could come up the face of the column with the urethane, 4 to 6 inches, and seal it up that way. So that's a construction detail, that's not.
All right, so the windows on the existing white gospel, the windows are new.
Yes.
What happens with them?
Plan would be to remove them and replace them with two large sliding doors.
Okay.
All right, you're one fixed, one sliding.
Okay, so you're not going handicap compliant on it?
That is something we have to answer with the building department. Okay, and we have an intention to put a man door, a swinging man door on the site, and also a ramp. However, if we read the last review of spring 2022, I can't get access to everything, which is available online. I just think we're actually not obligated to do that.
Okay. So if you had to do it, you wouldn't have the room to put a door in it. If you had to.
We actually, I have a design for that, but it's immaterial to this conversation right now.
All right.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Yes.
Hi, Jennifer Marston.
Address, please.
38 Ocean Boulevard, Little Cross Chicken Joe. Would you be able to bring up the picture with the acoustic barrier and the apparatus top roof?
This one?
No, the one that you see actually
the
air
conditioning.
Oh, we just wanted the air conditioning. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So, there's
no
wall
with acoustic
barrier.
I'm sorry,
excuse me. With the acoustic barrier in place. From the other picture, what is the distance between the first air conditioning unit and the acoustic area? About a bit.
Sorry, 6 to 8 feet, something like that. Actually, it's closer to 8 feet, yes.
And that unit that is right closest to us in the picture, is that a fan, an exhaust fan? Not that one is closest to the picture.
This is, that's an exhaust fan for the casino downstairs.
Okay, and about where on the picture will the acoustic barrier go, according to all the air conditioning units that are there? The opposite side of the first one?
So, the face of this air conditioning unit. This is the plan here. Here's the line for the back of the building right there. Right. This is about 9 feet. So there's a duct here. We're going to be roughly 9 foot away from that duct, which puts us probably 11 foot away from that AC unit right there. Here's the one AC unit right there.
That's the first AC unit.
Pardon? That's the first AC unit.
That's right. So do acoustic barriers have a reflective
I think when we specify the sound barrier, that's something that should be considered, certainly, that is absorptive on both sides and not reflective on the south side of the barrier.
And then the follow-up question, with projects like these, I know like when we did our house construction and stuff, it's one and done, and you're done, you're happy, you spent every bit of money that you had, so, and I'm sure that will be the same this project. With projects like these that are quasi-commercial in some sense, is there a policy of putting escrow in for unintended consequences? So let's say the that wall didn't work out. We wanted to put something on the opposite side of, let's say the channel, the, we were talking about this, the noise ordinances. It's not just, noise carries in a big open space, we all know that, but so it's not always just the loudness of noise, it's the high pitch noise. We all experienced the Verizon towers, which they seem to have taken care of on Town Hall Boulevard for a while. They're just humming and humming. That can kill your life, yeah. So my question there would be, in projects like this, is there something that would deserve a barrier for the people that are concerned and say, hey, if this is something horrible happens here and there's really unintended consequences, that we can fix it? Or is all the money gone and that's it?
Good questions, certainly. I think that, as I expressed earlier, we want to be good neighbors, okay? And you know, we want to take things into consideration. And certainly if we have to modify a sound absorbing wall in some way to you know, reduce its reflective properties. Things like that could be add-ons. You don't have to rip the whole wall out, but you could add another absorptive panel on the other side of the wall, and you know, increase the absorption on the opposite side of the wall as well. If that were a problem.
Yeah. Well, the reason I asked about the funding for that is because talk about the roof and fixing things to the roof, we've established that that would be something not easily done post construction. So if something like that came up, I would imagine not being a construction person, there would be something you need to affix to the roof on the opposite side, so that you could then affix the wall on the opposite side. And none of this will happen, because maybe it won't, but in the event that it did, you know, it's, you know, people half a mile, almost a mile off the hill can hear the noises from the marina. So it is a thing worth, I think, thinking about, but residents telling a little bit of.
As far as money, we have 200 members all up. So, you know, if something happens, then we have to rise to the occasion that we can do that. It's not, you know, onesie, twosie. Are we flush with cash all the time? No, because everybody's kind of cheap, you know, but that's okay. And so, yeah, I think that you're building it. We have a preliminary thought on what the budget might be. We have to negotiate to figure out what the ramifications are to us as a club with us spending that amount of money. I'll take a side note that people are Yacht Club, if you're familiar with that, they just bought the lot next door for 1-1. So I think they have about the same number of members as we do. Of course, the difference is they own it. But I make the argument, actually, one of the richest guys that ever settled with. His company, we never went on the building. And so it's just a different way to look at it. If you didn't invest in the buildings, there would be no restaurants, because most restaurants don't have a property. So we're in the entertainment business. Okay? We need to entertain our members, otherwise, why would they?
And then I have one other question.
Sure.
But the sliding doors and the doors that you're talking about, I looked on the picture, I can't remember where they would be. So is there going to be one on the east side of the Yacht Club and one on the north side, or is it just on the north side?
Just on the north side. Okay, I am looking at the possibility. They got two doors here. One is actually going to be fixed. That is going to be sliding because we can't have a, it's going to be a great view. So I'm looking at putting a swing man door out directly to the egress path that goes out over the roof. So it's one of the things that once we get into code and everything, we're going to vet that. But that's one of the things that we looked at.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
Yes, in the back.
Just a related
piece. Name and address, please.
Jack Roberts on 44. We have occupancy limits now to collecting chairs. So is that the same as the exterior? So would it be the same? If you never have more than 120 people in both screens at one time, or does it extend? I'm just wondering, what's the occupancy limit?
So the occupancy level is yet to be recalculated. That occupancy level was calculated prior to sprinklers being included. So now that the entire structure is sprinkled, the occupancy, allowable occupancy level is significantly higher than that. And also we're going to improve egress from the outdoor space and from the indoor space. So, our occupancy, permit occupancy already can be increased. We just haven't gone down over again.
You don't know what it is yet.
Oh, it's significantly more than it is now. Being sprinkler, better way to phone.
Any other questions? Yes.
Hi, Rick Paxton, Sheldon, up for the ocean. Hi, just to thank you. Those were a lot of good questions there. Do you have a rough cost on this? And that's all being funded by the club, I assume.
Yes. Our conversation's been roughly $350,000 in that area.
And again, the cost of the living over there and seeing how main such an issue CC Street has been put out there tents every 2 or 3 years. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you're going to have to do a lot of repairs. My concern is having a constant work site out there as things have to be done. And also, if you have, like you're saying, if there's money set aside,
I'm wondering what your concern is with maintenance. The roof is metal. Lifespan 50 years. Structurally, hot dip galvanized and painted. So typically, we won't have maintenance on that for 15 years, roughly, oceanfront. I don't see. Originally, we designed it with a battered roof, and exactly what you're saying. It was like, the railings, which you can see in the one picture, they were going to be fabric. That's tied in there because that's kind of a gaudy kind of a thing. And we thought, okay, so every 10 years we're going to rip all those out and throw them all away. So there's solid panels now, so they're going to be much more durable. And so, yeah, maintenance is something that we have taken into consideration and is a huge thing, certainly. So, yeah, we want to minimize that as much as possible.
I'm just skeptical of how well everything's going to stand up, knowing how
Destroys
everything. I don't have a lot of things to the sound of the wall to rest in that, to be honest. I don't know, I could have looked it up every 2 years anyway. But I would be curious, feel to refer the cart before the horse a little bit, before a lot of these answers or questions are answered, because for me, a lot of these things are based on how safe is the structure, how are you tying into the turn build that's there. Have you done, I don't think it's in town, which is traffic right now, but again, that thing was pretty packed around the area. So if you realize your goal is to be nice and better club and better entertainment area, what are the ramifications? So I don't know what those are. I guess you're saying that's got to come next. The builder has to come first, but I don't think I'm going to know the process.
But to answer your, should that be first or last? Yeah. And so you have a project. Why would you invest money? I mean, let's say you're interested in purchasing a home, three blocks away. It would be great if I had a wonderful yard there. Let me call my landscaper and let him go design it right now. You don't own it yet. Right? We don't have the right to build this yet. So for us to invest our money to go through all the engineering, the borings, the this, the that, I mean, it doesn't make sense. And once we get the, yes, you can possibly do it, assuming that it will have all the codes and all the requirements, then we do it so that we can do that. And if it won't meet those requirements, we will not be permitted to build it. That's clear. Okay.
Any other questions? Anything in Zoom call?
No.
Okay. No further. Go ahead.
Can I recognize as an objector? On behalf of Short Casino, please.
Okay. State your name and address.
Lynn Patillo.
Can you speak loudly, please?
Pardon me?
Can you speak loudly?
Lynn Patillo. Can you spell it?
Okay.
All right. Here I am on behalf of John Marin on behalf of Short Casino. The Short Casino had filed an objection to this application, and there should be a letter in the record dated March 1st. From Mr. Marin to the board and to the Harbor Commission citing the provision of the lease.
Excuse me, is this a question or is this a comment or? This is a question section.
Questions were finished.
Well, we haven't officially closed it yet, no. Yeah, I'll let you know when the comments section is open.
Okay.
I have a question.
Yes.
It's Mr. Jim Gotcha.
The maintenance, money for maintenance in escrow. Now, that was a good question. What if the roof below your floor needs maintenance? And that can happen, that type of roof requires maintenance. Our structure is in for a few years. Our structure is a bridge. It is built over the existing roof, which will no longer function as a roof. Our deck surfaced and our roof will be in the roof for that section. And then the other sections that are not covered by our deck will be re-roofed by the club and will have a warranty for them to handle that. So we will be responsible for all the roofing that's around us, because right now we don't know what that roofing is, how good it is, how bad it is. So we're going to touch it, right? The minute we touch it, we need to own it. So that we can own it, we can insure it, we can have an insurance policy from the manufacturer for everything. What is underneath the deck will never be a roof. We'll never see daylight again. Okay, it's going to be a waterproof coating, a waterproof floor, and a roof which goes over that. So actually two layers.
So you're saying you're going to put new waterproof roofs there?
We're above the deck. The deck is going to be waterproof.
What if water seeps? You know, water has fun ways to go places.
Well, to fix that.
Okay,
the waterproofing is all on the top. We don't need to lift it up. We have not lifted it up.
We won't be able to remove the
house.
We won't be able to.
It's your floor, actually. No. Our floor is the waterproofing. That's the new. It goes through, okay?
And the water can come in from the side, wind blows, heavy rain can happen.
Well, no, anything can happen. Anything can happen in life. We can get struck by lightning right now, okay? But it hasn't happened yet. So, around the perimeter of this roof deck that will be waterproof, okay, that they fell on the system, construction specialists made them, okay? It will be sealed off from the side of our structure down to a new roof that replaces the existing roof that is outside of our deck area. Okay, everything under our deck area is going to be essentially untouched. And it's going to never see the light of day and never see water. Now, if there is a leak, we'll have to fix it on our surface on the top because that's where it would originate from.
So it can't come from the side and get in somehow?
No, that was flashing. And could anything happen? Absolutely anything can happen in life. Okay, we're going to take preventative steps. We're going to take
something like this.
It's unlikely, but.
You were saying that the amount of weight that the floor can take today is 35 pounds, etc.
Right, the roof is designed, right now is designed for lights. They're 2x12s, standing 24 feet, 12 inches on center. That will support 35 pound roof load, total load of tops. That's it.
So the bridge will give, ability to have more weight on it.
Okay.
But what about the exit, emergency exit? Will that be, will there be a bridge for it, or will they be walking on it? If a lot of people come out at once.
Yeah. The emergency exit is exactly what it says, the emergency exit. We're going to build it up with a styrofoam base above the new roof that we provide. Okay, we're going to have some struts built in that to distribute the load over a larger area. If the number of people on it, of course it's unknown, but on a temporary basis, the roof underneath is wood. Wood does not fail immediately. So we could easily load up that small area, okay, 4 to 5 feet wide, with people
keep the job, and if we're not going to respect.
So you're going to, Mr. Hanks, you're going to widen it so it can spread the weight?
We're going to widen it a little and raise it up so that it's, from how wide? Approximately 5 feet, about 5 feet.
So if a lot of people, if 200 people are running up, they'll be okay. Will they somehow, is it possible they might go off?
We're going to have to provide, and that's a COVID question, we're going to have to inevitably provide them to protect them from the equipment and then protect them from going off. So there will be an OSHA rail either side of it to guide them, and there would also be low level night lighting along that pathway to the egress or area of refuge.
How about handicapped people?
That's code issue. So it's spring 2023 code review. And according to that, we are actually not obligated because we have no obligation to provide for handicap. We do have a chair that goes up and down the stairs, and we most likely will provide a swing door and access directly to that because we are interested in safety and life safety. All those questions will be answered to the building officials.
What's your feeling about it? Do you think handicapped people should be able to access? You're leaving it for a third party?
I think that we can get handicapped people up there, okay? And we can have some handicapped people who come up. And if they need an assistance, we would all be the first ones in line to help them.
And exit as well?
And accent? Certainly, if there was a problem.
Absolutely. Somebody will be there to make sure they get out first, as you said.
As I said.
Two kind of connected questions. What is the benefit to the harbor since you got some sort of a semi-approval from the harbor? What's the benefit to the harbor? Is it more rent, or are there other reasons? What, and then my, and just to help, and the second part of that question is, what's the benefit to the town?
The yacht club attracts yachtsmen, people with boats. It also attracts transients, people who have boats that are traveling from other parts of the world. And between our yacht owners and the transients, I believe there was a report that we generate for the town several hundred thousand dollars of revenue for the business within town, and also make the Atlantic Islands a more attractive place for yachtsmen and people who like that sort of thing. Yeah, Atlantic Islands Yacht Club membership consists of 115 borough residents and 130 Monmouth County residents, making a direct annual financial contribution to the borough in excess of $610,000 per year, with much more trickling down through the community, local businesses, to members and transients.
Okay, so we are just saying the yacht club is a good thing for the town, but will this project, is what I'm referring to, how will that benefit now?
Will attract more people to the yacht club as a place to go. Many of those people are already members of the harbor, so they're already there. And they would spend more time in Atlantic Islands because it would, we hope, would make it more attractive to them.
So it will be run like a business to attract people to come and hang out, like me, for example, who doesn't have a boat.
Well, you could join the yacht club and become a member. But yeah, we have members that do not have boats, okay, because they enjoy the camaraderie, the social atmosphere of the club, but people have similar interests that they do in the water and waterfront.
Okay. So will there be any benefit to for other people that are in town, the town in general? I believe Atlantic Island is 5 to 10,000 people. Will there be a benefit to the community?
I think that the salient improvement to the town, making a building that looks like a warehouse more, in my opinion, as an object, more attractive, I think will attract more people to the town to say, oh, look, that is interesting. And Atlantic Highlands is really doing something, like Atlantic House, beautiful addition to our town. Thanks for answering.
Any other questions? Any on the Zoom call?
No.
Okay, so.
Mr. Nelson, any further witnesses?
No further witnesses.
Public comment.
It's time for public comments now. If you have a comment you'd like to make on this application, please raise your hand. Yes, ma'am.
Representing Torcino, Lynn Patillo, appearing for John Marin and Torcino attorney. This application requires the express written approval of the Shore Casino as per their lease agreement with Harbor Commission. Mr. Marin sent a letter dated March 1st to the board, copy to the Harbor Commission, citing the provision of the lease. At this time, we have in the process of obtaining an engineering expert to review the plan and to opine and give us an expert report so that we may consider this proposal. At this time, we request an adjournment for carrying with this matter so that we have the opportunity to do so. Additionally, I'd also like to mention the engineer that we have reached out to and intend to retain is named James Snyder. He, I believe, is listening in on Zoom. I don't know if there's any way of allowing him to participate in the university.
Yes, we do have the ability.
I would object to that, not having the engineer in person for an in-person meeting.
Mr. Nelson, unfortunately for you, this is a hybrid meeting.
Yeah.
The borough has decided to conduct these meetings and the board has decided to conduct these meetings as a hybrid meeting. So it is not only in person, but it is also open to the public by virtual means. So we're not going there.
Let's see
if the engineer's here so we can hear him out first.
I understand your position, but I'd still object to that. Thank you.
Okay, noted. Is he there?
He is here.
Okay. Okay, can you please allow him?
Yes, be on camera.
Yeah. Yes. Well, I don't think we're hearing testimony yet.
Making comments or...
Comments.
I don't think we're taking testimony at this point. We're not there yet. Counselor, you've indicated your engineer is watching this. Are you expecting them to participate in this in terms of providing testimony or evidence?
If the board wishes to hear some of our preliminary comments, that obviously he needs some time to review this.
All right. So before
just be on a very general level of voicing some of our concerns,
Well, it may be that the board may entertain some of that in terms of deciding whether or not to grant an adjournment to provide further testimony at some point in the future. I do want to say that the board did receive Mr. Marin's letter of March 1, 2023, which does reference the leases between the various tenants at the Shore Casino, that is the Shore Casino and the Yacht Club, and indicating that there is a provision in the lease that says if you're going to do additions or improvements, that you have to get the permission of the other lessee in order to do that. I'm going to give that a marking of 01. We didn't give it a marking previously because there was no one here at the last meeting representing the Shore Casino to raise any objection. went to place this on the record, so, and no one to verify this letter, the authenticity of this letter. So the letter is now here, it's in evidence as O1. I will say that. I will also tell you, and it objects to this board proceeding with the application on the basis that contending the board doesn't have authority to hear this case because the adjacent tenant or the other tenant has not consented to this project. There is a case, Richick Company versus Basinder et al. It's at 252 New Jersey, Super 334. It's an appellate division 1991 case. From Long Branch, which says that if you are a lessee, you have a right under the municipal land use law to bring an application. The fact that there may be an agreement between landlord and tenants about who can do what on that property is between the landlord and the tenants. That has nothing to do with the jurisdiction of this board to hear an application by a lessee who has the right, the property right, to bring an application under the municipal land use law. So I'm telling you right now, as far as their objection to your jurisdiction, I'm telling you, you've got jurisdiction. Now, to the point of adjournment, we may want to hear what the arguments are of...
If I may, Mr. Stiver, I would like to address that when you're ready.
Go right ahead.
To the request. First, to address the letter, which the letter, I agree with your legal analysis as well, and I would also point out that the Atlantic Highlands Yacht Club has no privity of contract with the Shore Casino whatsoever. That's between the Shore Casino and the Harbor Commission. So I do agree with your legal analysis and add that one point about the privity between the Atlantic Highlands Yacht Club and the Shore Casino. Secondly, I would also further object to any adjournment request, and particularly at this time, and particularly since the Shore Casino's count had retained counsel clearly prior to March 1st of 2023, more than 2 months ago, which corresponded in relation to this application, and is now at this late hour, at this end, you know, towards the end of the second hearing, more than two months later, now requesting for an adjournment and an additional time for an engineer to be presented, I think is uncalled for and at this time, and that's the position I would take with respect to any further adjournment of this matter.
I understand that we'll give you another opportunity to respond, but I think we should at least give enough of a leash to hear what counsel's witness has to say.
Okay. Please proceed.
Thank you. Mr. Gatton, can you hear me?
He's got himself muted. I've asked him to
unmute. Miss, the microphone is for the virtual system is right here. You mind stepping forward? He can hear you better.
Thank you, Mr.
Ryder.
Can you hear me? Are you able to?
Still muted.
He has to unmute.
Is there permission saying on our end to allow speaking?
Okay, press and hold the space bar before I try to talk.
Unplug it, plug it back in.
Is that his end?
It's muted on that. Maybe we can come back and pick it back up.
Okay. So we're going to hold off on this until technicalities or technical difficulties are figured out.
I would also like to just present to the board. We do have extenuating circumstances here. The general manager of the Shore Casino, John Spread, very recently passed away just a week and a half ago. This process had been started of having an engineer with a plan, and of course everything was stolen. It was a terrible tragedy to them what just happened. So we would ask, please, respectfully, that the board consider an adjournment. This is a very reasonable request, and we have the legal basis to do so, privilege of
things. Okay.
Right, so at this point, we have a technical problem with this particular person. We have a bunch of public here that wants to be heard. I think we should hear those members of the public who are here who want to be heard, and then we can, okay, and we can worry about the adjournment after that's done. Well, let's see if he's got audio.
Hey, can you hear us? Maybe not.
I think, Mr. Chairman, that we should proceed so that the members of the public who are physically here get their opportunity to speak at this time.
I agree. Okay. So, if he gets connected, maybe you can call him, or whatever, discuss it. Okay. Any other comments at this time? Yes, sir. Name and address again, please.
You have to come up. We have to swear you in. Raise your right hand and be sworn, please. Do you either swear or affirm that any testimony you give in connection with this proceeding be the truth, all truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
And your name and address, sir.
James Demas. I live in Highland. I have a boat in Harbor.
Go ahead, sir.
Okay. As I said before, we've got 700 tenants out there in the harbor. And on and off, we've had noise problems. I've been in the harbor 48 years. Even longer than we've been around. But by way of history, you know, we used to have the Super Cat. Everybody remember the Super Cat? Charlotte? Used to get on the speaker in the morning, 7 a.m., looking for customers. That carried us down. Finally put a stop to that. Then we came up with the on the deck. And they used to go to 1 in the morning, and you couldn't sleep on your boat. Fishermen like to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. And mooring people like to sleep too. And that became a problem, and I believe that was finally addressed. And I'm afraid that what's being proposed here is just going to be another event of noise that we can't control. And, you know, you got 700 tenants that you didn't really make aware. You know, there's four or five people, I guess, in homes here that made the cut. The tenants haven't said a word. So I think you really need to consider them. Unless, you know, you put in something that says, okay, we stop all the outdoor activity at 8 p.m. You know, put some housing like that. But beyond that, it didn't look good to me. Thank you.
Thank you. Other comments? In the back? Yes, yes.
Frank Sonnenschwald with the 5150 Boulevard. I am also a member of the Yacht Club with the boat in the harbor.
Let me swear you in, please. Do you either swear or affirm that any testimony you give in connection with this proceeding will be the truth, all truth, nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
I answer a few questions and comments that I've heard around today. I mean, I live at 51 Ocean Boulevard, so directly across the street from the three houses, or I guess four houses, that have had the strongest objections. And I love my neighbors, but I have to disagree with them here and believe that this construction of this deck does not have a significant impact on the views or the areas that I see through the between the houses to the water as well. I view it as a big positive for both the harbor and the town. We have an opportunity to add significant outdoor value to the yacht club, which is also value to the town. When I now am a new father, 2-year-old twins, there's no way I'm taking them to on the deck for an evening or afternoon dinner. It is just the environment and the crowd that's there. I have no interest of exposing my twins to that. As a father, the outdoor space that will be at the yacht club will be a huge benefit for me and my family. And I'm sure that there are other young families in town that maybe not members yet, but maybe they become members, whether they're voters or not. First 10 years I was member of the yacht club, I was not a voter member. I was just a social member. And that benefit is going to play out throughout the town. The transients that come through, you're going to now see more transients because they're going to love to eat out there. That on the deck is an always a value. As far as the 700 tenants of the harbor, me being one, I don't view that sound as really an issue. There's sound that comes through all the boats, all night long. At no point are there ever an attempt to restrict the noise coming from the boats that are currently in the harbor. I think that that's overall, if you want to take a survey, probably benefit. They do this outdoor space, they can get off the boat, come get a bite to eat, get back to the boat, being a tremendous value in making the harbor a more desirable place to have your boat. Maybe fill up the mooring field, which would be direct revenue to the harbor, and maybe increase the interest in the area as well for a variety of different voters. So, thank you.
Thank you. Other comments? Yes, in the back.
Joe Patsko, from the Vice Commodore of Atlantic Island Yacht Club.
Sir, let me swear you in. Do you either swear or affirm that any testimony you give in connection with this proceeding will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do. I think Chris and some of the other folks here spoke a little bit about what that we bring to the harbor with the transients. We are the one service for those folks out in the harbor. I can go on and on about what we bring in, but I want to just put into a little perspective on the impacts and that we're, I think it's kind of viewed that we're this restaurant or this nightclub. As Chris mentioned, we have 200 members. There's 130 full-time members. The 200 in lifetime, senior, student, junior, military, and provisional members. Our hours are typically, as you know, we're Wednesday through Sunday. We don't open until 4 o'clock. School stay till close. The galley starts at 5:30, so typically 10 p.m. the latest. The chefs clean up the kitchen. I took the data from the last 4 months of us being open during this year. 10 p.m. was the average when we closed down. And midnight is the absolute latest in the past 4 months we've had. As you know, our occupancy is 125. And I'll give you a little typical occupancy because we keep numbers on folks that could stop in. 34 people on average on any given night. Max was 67 over the past 4 months. You're not talking a significant amount of people. Sure, we hope that if it's more, it makes the club more robust and have a little more money in the club food. But this is, we're a small old club that tries to launch the community. And we hope that this will make it a little better, maybe increase our membership a little more so we can do a little more out there for the town and for the club.
Thank you. Yes.
Sir, let me swear you in at this point. Do you either swear or affirm that any testimony given connection with this proceeding be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Thank you.
Go ahead.
The history of what time, what the hours, current hours of the club is really not relevant because after having a deck, they expect to stay a lot later. Maybe open Monday and Tuesday. So it doesn't mean that they're gonna stick to the same hours. Noise. Noise is actually a major factor, major problem in the harbor. As a resident right next to it, we understand that there are boats out there. And when the boat engine runs loud, in the water, not behind the house. They're not supposed to, but they do run it. I'll get to that in a sec. But we expect some noise. When the cranes come to move the boats, boom, 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 constantly. I have to put noise-canceling headphones on so I can hear people at a Zoom meeting. So it's noisy enough, but it's a harbor, so we expect it, we tolerate it. There are rules that they shouldn't be running their engines up against the property, up against the fence, but they do. And there is no way to enforce it. I tell people, hey, if you're standing in front of that sign that says, don't run your engine, they say, what sign? So it's not enforced, and noise coming from this new construction, no matter what promises are made today, will not be abided by and will not be enforceable. So there are other noises as well. There's the on the deck. They've been very noisy. And they were
there's times of the year where every Friday night I call the police, they go and stop them from making that noise, and they tell me that they are not playing music outside, they're playing inside. If this gentleman had actually gone and checked it himself, he would have seen that they're playing music inside with the doors open. But it's kind of good to say, yeah, it's allowed. So we heard a lot of stuff to make us sway in that direction. For example, these pictures are done with a wide-angle lens, so everything seems far. But when you're there on site, they're right there in front of us. A few hundred feet is not far. If we hear on the deck so loud, we're going to hear a drunk person here screaming. I've owned a bar, and I know how people can get. You can't stop them. You can't just stop everybody from making noise. This will happen. There's no guarantee of what type of band is going to play outside. Drums? Two guitars playing? Come on. Last time we heard that there was going to be a bigger band, I guess the gentleman realized that that was the wrong thing to say. So today it was two guitars. The other thing about noise is the amphitheater I mentioned earlier. In school, I remember in college, there were these amphitheaters. This teacher taught here, you could hear it in the back because it was built in a way to sort of amplify, compress the sound. Same as a Roman amphitheater. These properties are in that situation. We have a hill and we hear everything going on out there loud. We can hear people talk, walking on the bike trail. We hear what they're saying. So you may want to watch what you say out there. Sorry, I thought you said something. So that is a problem that should have been addressed, and the gentleman didn't think of it, obviously, but it is a problem. The other thing is, it seems like this type of a structure is a stretch. I work in technology. I see problems with technology every day where people just didn't think of something and something goes wrong. Water can seep. It will. Water will seep in. Something technical that somebody misunderstood, or the manufacturer said something and it just didn't meet that standard. So I think that the proposed structure itself is not really a good one. I think it's putting a square peg in a round hole. Did I get that backwards? I'm surprised at the letter from the Harvard. What position are they to comment? So I'm going to be going to the Harvard Commission to see why they wrote that letter. As I said, this is just the marina, and marina activities are good. There are three food places. There's a breakfast place on the deck, Shore Casino, and the whole of First Avenue. Why do people need yet one more? The marina is being taken as a playground for a lot of people. Let's build this, let's put a whole 100 trees over here. These are things I've seen over the years. All kinds of reconstruction, they're planning. And it shouldn't be that way. It's a marina, it should be preserved as such. It should be the minimum amount of other activities, because we have a prospering and prosperous First Avenue right next door. I've heard a lot of promises today, like, okay, the walkway, for example, the emergency exit. Clearly, that 35-pound thing isn't going to work. So, okay, yeah, we'll put fencing on the side so they can't go off, whatever. So, a lot of things that are being promised to keep it together, I'm not sure if they can be enforced. So, I think that's the problem. Needless to say, I'm against the process.
Any other comments?
Yes,
yes, Mr. Cacimo. Name and address.
Joe Cacimo, 44 Ocean Boulevard, Berlin, Highlands.
You do have to swear you're going to. You to swear or affirm that any testimony you give in connection with this proceeding to be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Thank you.
The ordinance, the 50% roof coverage, I believe that was meant for the applicant, the size of their building. I believe this deck is, because they're on top of the Shore Casino and the roof is so big, they're using that square footage to make the deck that big. I think, please consider, I think the way the ordinance was written was for the coverage of the particular building. So that would make this deck a lot smaller than they're proposing. If they went by their roof, okay, this particular Yacht Club sitting on top of the Shore Casino, it's very big. In that case, what they're saying, they could, if you allow this, is that you're saying that deck could be 30% bigger. And I think the other way it should apply is about the size of the structure. So I'd like you to consider that. As far as the residents on the hill, these houses were built to view the water. And it's not just us. If you look, it's the whole hillside that view this. And I think a lot of residents in town have been very respectful to keep the charm. I know I rebuilt my porch deck, and Rick over here, big deck. He rebuilt. We all rebuilt our porches. And we showed our dedication to town. We tried to keep the charm of town. So when the people in the harbor are looking up, they get to view our houses in a pleasant view. I believe this structure is not a pleasant view. When he, on that drawing, he outlined the roof in a dark blue. You see how it pops from the picture that he had there? That's going to pop through the whole town. So the whole hillside is going to see, especially in the wintertime, is going to see this massive roof. That doesn't represent the town going to Collins. And, you know, you build this, you take that part of you. One of the parts lying behind the marina is viewing the boats in the marina. You're taking that away from us. I don't think the residents deserve that. The residents have shown a lot of respect to the area about rebuilding their homes, keeping that charm of the town. And I think the residents should earn some consideration for what they have done and time and money that they've put into this town. And once you take that portion of you away from us, you'll never get it back. I don't believe this deck has to be that big. I think if you went by the 50% rule, which is their structure, I think we can make everybody happy. This deck is way too big for the area. Why are you blocking a view of the waterfront? Okay, it's not just me that sees it. It's the people walking on the sidewalk. The winter view, everybody sees it. You're blocking their view. That's, you know, Atlantic Highlands is about the waterfront. Why are we taking more and more waterfront away? We should be preserving the waterfront views, okay? That. The building, the, what they're proposing, the structure, you know, the building that they're, the Shore Casino is an asset to Atlantic Highlands. What they're trying to do, we have so many unanswered questions about this deck, to jeopardize that building. It's a lot of square footage. Just the roof alone, it's a banquet hall, a lot of roof. If there's water leaks, that's it, we're done. You're going to destroy this building with this proposed structure there. It doesn't make sense. There's so many possibilities for something to go wrong, tragically wrong. We have all the elements against us. You got everything against you on this roof. To try to keep a roof dry is very hard. This structure is not doing that. It's not giving you the confidence that this is going to be dry. It's using bellow flashing pressure down on the roof. There's going to be movement on the roof. And it can jeopardize, and what they're talking about, the structure with the steel beams on the side connecting into the building, the side of the building. On the deck had 15 pilings, and they still had movement. He wants to put his deck on with four points of weight. I find that that's going to be a problem. And that's where I'm at with that. I'm sorry. But I think this is a detriment to the community in the surrounding area. I think it'll wind up being a detriment to the building. I think there could be a big problem here as far as the structure of that building. I think this could jeopardize the building a lot, especially when we're dealing with all this roof. It's a lot of roof to keep dry. Right now, it's dry. There's no problems with it. And I think it should stay that way. Once you start messing with that roof, it's all over. There's a lot of potential for problems. That's it.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Hi, my name is Mark Stone. I live at 46th Avenue, Atlantic Highlands.
Please let me swear you in. Raise your right hand. Do you either swear or affirm that any testimony given in connection with this proceeding will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. Go ahead.
I have lived in town for many, many years. I have been a member off and on of the Yacht Club since 1972. I have been the entertainment chairman of the Atlantic Highlands Yacht Club. I've been on the board of the Atlantic Highlands Yacht Club. I have seen, for people that haven't been here that long, we did a deck on the top of the sand many years ago. And literally, we just put a deck right on top of the Shore Casino roof. Okay? We had tables out there with umbrellas. Tables weren't tied down. we did this for probably a couple years. And what did happen is the roof leaked. Okay? So I feel that the proposal, I'm missing some points here, okay? My understanding is what we're doing is that the town is saying, okay, this sounds like a viable thing, and we go to the next step. We don't have all the answers. We as a town, you know, like when we're talking about, when we're talking about maintenance 10 years from now, okay? When D Street first came here, we all thought this was a great thing. Okay, I used to live on Granite Avenue. We tried to get bumps to cut down on the traffic. I could not have my deck go out when D Street went down there. Okay, when the traffic went down. We as a town did nothing about it. Nothing at all. Okay, we still do nothing about it. You know, the traffic goes blaring down. Everything that the Yacht Club is trying to do is to make the property look more appealing I think that the Shore Casino, I'm sorry, Kathleen, you know, I love you guys, got married there, my kids got married, some of my stepkids got married there, my 40th birthday party. So, but as far as aesthetically and trying to do something the right way, I think that Chris has, and I think a lot of people that have their houses redone in town everywhere can attest that my brother, Chris, who is my brother, is so meticulous. Okay, dot the I's, cross the T's. 46th Avenue, anyone who watched my renovation? Sliding glass doors there, patio, that's steel in there. Used to live 22 Bayside Drive. It is all steel reinforced on the water. Okay? I mean, the windows, the sliding glass doors on Bayside Drive, they're built to withstand 110 mile an hour winds. Okay? I mean, he is just so meticulous. I think aesthetically, looking at the building as you come down into the harbor, as a boat comes into the harbor, it needs some appeal, okay? We need to draw more people to the town. As far as the club, we do all kinds of things for the town. We have sailing, you know, so kids and whatnot, which anyone that has children is well aware. But I think that I seem to think that we're missing the purpose as to why we're here and what we're trying to do. As far as the noise, I don't know, there's someone over on Highland Place, you know, they're playing music until 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. We all try to be considerate. There aren't loud parties at the club all the time. I can attest to that. I was the entertainment chairman for years. You know, so you have an occasional party here, occasional party there. Yeah, maybe you'll have a good party. Frank Marks. He lives diagonally across from me. I don't know, ask Sue, my neighbor. For years, he's played his music so loud that she's complaining about it. I mean, fine, he's playing rock and roll, he's playing whatever, sometimes it's the opera. But that's what Frank does. So, you know, we all have to be nice as neighbors and try to work together. You know, someone calls me or walks over and says, "Hey, Mark, can you turn down the rates of that a little bit?" Sure, we'll do it. we all try to work together. But I think that, and yes, I can hear occasionally. I can hear off the deck from my house. And 11 o'clock at night, I'm sitting there all into it. So, but I just think we're missing the point here. We're just trying to get it past
Thank you. Any other comments? Yes, Mr. Kress. Name and address, please.
James Kress, 77 Bayside Drive. I'm actually.
Either swear or affirm any testimony given in connection with this proceeding be the truth, whole truth, nothing but the truth.
Yes, including my name and address. I am here actually on behalf of the Harbor Commission. I am a member, I am a Harbor Commissioner, and I am chair of the Lease Committee. First, I'd like to touch on Mr. Wall's letter. The Harbor is supporting a site approval application. We are not approving, not yet in a position to approve the plans, which are really tentative at this point, a proposal. And I'm sure will change as they find out what the conditions are. There's a paragraph in there that specifically says that the Harbor Commission will only approve any building if it's reviewed by the Harbor Commission's attorney. Engineer, which also happens to be CME. So that being said, I'd like to have a little background that maybe answers some questions. The harbor is effectively the largest taxpayer in town. The Harbor Commission does not actually pay taxes. It pays a shared service fee, which is somewhat akin to a pilot for payment in lieu of taxes. In 2022 and for a few years before that, the Harbor Commission was paying a shared service fee of $1.1 million each year annually. For a few years before that, it was a level of about $1 million. The borough raises $5.67 million in taxes, real estate taxes. So the harbor's contribution adds another 20% on top of the real estate taxes. So the harbor's a pretty serious makes a pretty serious contribution that if it wasn't made, your taxes, your municipal taxes would go up. So one of the goals of the Harbor Commission is to protect that amount of money, there are a couple of things when we evaluated whether we would support going forward on this. Is first thing was we want to keep our tenant happy and thriving so that they continue to pay the rent and perhaps pay more rent as they attract more members, and frankly, we always wondered what the overall contribution of the yacht club was. The yacht club itself pays about $90,000 a year for the club, for a portion of the dock where their launch goes, and then for a storage area. But as the testimony was tonight, I think roughly $520,000 of additional income is earned from yacht club members who keep their boats here. Next thing we said in the end of this is we need to make sure that whatever was done would not interrupt the operations of the harbor itself, and in particular our tenant, the Shore Casino, because they share a building. We have, although we received a copy of the letter requesting adjournment, we have not yet received a formal objection to the proposal that the yacht club has made. If I remember the language correctly, our lease with the Shore Casino said that they can make a reasonable objection. If they don't formally object, we will still contact them before we go ahead and sign off on anything. We also don't, the Shore Casino this year is paying $228,000 in rent, so we want to keep them happy as well. And then finally, the harbor is zoned MR, which is marine recreation. And it borders on an R1 zone, single family zone. So we were very cognizant of what the effect would be on the people who live in the R1 zone adjacent to the harbor. So we were very focused on what the yacht club was planning to do in terms of maintaining noise and view blockage. And we think that they've done a reasonable job in that respect. We also think that in a marine recreational zone, a yacht club is an appropriate use. And that, as Mr. Stone testified, outdoor dining is an appropriate use in a yacht club. So those are the three major focuses that we had in making our decision to support the site approval. Finally, and I don't want to sound cavalier on this, and we did discuss this, but last month you declined outdoor dining at a restaurant that was situated right in the R1 zone. This application is for a use that's in a marine recreational zone. So it just you know, it's just a different, it's a different situation. And again, I don't want to be sound cavalier, but if you purchase a property that abuts a basically a commercial zone, you should expect that that commercial zone will have commercial uses. And I think in this case, it's a marine recreation. So I think it's a marine recreational use. So is that, yeah.
Just for the record, we didn't reject that. They withdrew that from their application. So we didn't.
We didn't vote on it.
For anything outdoor. They withdrew that from their application.
Oh, okay. Fine, but I suspect that you would have turned it down. Thank you.
So, any other comments? Yes, sir.
My name is Albert Sager. I don't live in Atlantic Highlands. I'm a life member of the Yacht Club.
Have to swear in. Do you swear affirm that any testimony given in connection with this proceeding be the truth, whole truth, nothing but the truth?
Yes, sir. I just want to make sure that the planning board is aware of the impact that the Yacht Club provides to the town. It may not have been mentioned. Yes, we are a club for our members, but we are one of the premier facilities, transient facilities on the East Coast. So many mariners come to visit. They don't just come to the Yacht Club. They go to the food town to buy food. They go to the laundromat. They go to the restaurants. So we draw those people into the Atlantic Highlands. I also want to make sure you're aware of, it was mentioned briefly, this, the Atlantic Highlands Sailing Education Program, which is not exactly legally part of the Yacht Club, but the Yacht Club members are also the people that make that youth sailing program work. That is a vital asset to the town, and it brings in people from outside of Atlantic Highlands to Atlantic Highlands. Also, we have a Special Olympics sailing program where we take people that are active in the Special Olympics, people that have many different challenges. Every Tuesday night in the summer, we take them sailing. They take the helm, they steer the boat, and it's a wonderful asset for Atlantic Highlands. It gives Atlantic Highlands, even as good a town as it is, it has a greater reputation as it has, an even better reputation. So I'd like you to keep those things in mind. A lot of the questions that were raised tonight, the comments that were made, have to do with code issues, structural issues. We've got a great architect. The code enforcement people in town are not going to let him do what we'd like him to do for us unless he complies with all of the necessary code requirements. So I'd like you to keep those things in mind. And lastly, assuming this is approved, and assuming the lease is rearranged with the Harbor Commission to the mutual satisfaction of the club and the Harbor Commission, and assuming the club is able to actually build it, if anybody in the neighborhood who objects to the deck, I'd like them to call me because I'd like to maybe buy their house.
Mr. Jim, you have somebody behind you. You've had plenty of time to speak.
Kevin O'Brien, Atlantic Highlands.
Sir, do you swear affirm that any testimony given in connection with this proceeding be the truth, all truth, and nothing but the truth?
I just rise as a member of Atlantic Highlands Yacht Club and the Harbor League for the club to state that number one, support of this application. Where I live, I can hear the foghorns off the tip of the hook. I can hear the Star Spangled Banner from here. It comes with the territory, and as someone who has frequented the club, we are not allowed. It is not on the deck. It is not proving ground. It is a relatively quiet club, 95% of the time. And given the number of members that actually live in town, we are not going to make it our business to offend our neighbors. Many of the ones you noted are actually club members, so that I hope you take a little bit of enjoyment in the fact that we have some family discussions to have amongst all of ourselves. But the last thing, and I'm really glad that the representative of the Harbor Commission just spoke to you, many, if not all, of the concerns of the residents need to be addressed in any lease that were articulated tonight, need to be addressed in any lease discussions with Harbor. And I trust, given the history, the Harbor will look out for all of its residents, not just the club, and that those discussions are going to be very challenging for all parties, but I confident will see through the more positive than that. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay.
Gentleman from the Harbor Commission said how much money is paid to the town in the form of revenue or tax. And I think he should not have brought that up. Money should not be a factor, or taxes should not be a factor for the board to be making the decision. Perhaps Mr. Stein can elaborate on that. How much money approving or disapproving will bring or not bring should not be a factor for your decisions. And in fact, I find that the comment he made, which I'm sure he made it innocently, I find it objectionable. The decision of to approve or not approve how much tax I pay to the town and my neighbors pay should not be a factor to you. However, it will potentially lower my property value, which is a concern to me. Now, a lot of Chris, I'm sorry. He said that it looked like a warehouse. Honestly, we don't even notice it because it's a sort of a inconspicuous building. By adding these roofs on the one side, it's not going to make it pretty. It's not. And having that 8-foot wall, plastic, or forget the material, aluminum wall put up, isn't going to make it look any better. So we saw these pretty drawings of a roof and a nice American flag sort of focused on picture, but we didn't see the whole picture. This is just the one side of that building. The rest is not changing. And I'm glad it's not, because it's, as I said, inconspicuous. It's below the water for us. I can see over it. I bought this property with that view in mind. That's all. Thank you.
Any comments?
Jim has his hand raised, so I'm going to...
Okay, we'll try. Okay.
Are we closing comments in person now?
The
virtual?
I was not going to do that officially, no. Maybe you could. While we're waiting for this, any other comments from anyone here physically?
Okay. If not, we can close that portion.
We'll close the portion then for the in-person comments. Okay. Hey, can you hear us? Hello?
He's still muted. I don't know if he just realized.
By phones?
Correctly, attendees.
Try holding the space bar away, folks.
Marine Recreation.
Like he's on phone or?
We have phones, we have a video on a computer.
If he's on a computer, you can hold the space bar while he talks. Sir, are you on a computer? You nod your head yes.
It's like the parking lot.
Yep.
The Marine Recreation is down in that too.
It's like on the deck. Building.
Well, that's
and so,
So you have to hit number 9, sir, to unmute yourself on the phone.
You know what? Why don't we call for a 2-minute recess while we try and get the person on board?
Okay, so we're going to have a 2-minute recess while we try and get the technical issues resolved. We'll be back in about 2 minutes. Hey, call to order. Can we reconvene? Please have a seat. I believe the technical difficulties have been worked out. Okay, sir, please state your name and address.
James Geiger, 33 Mountainside Drive, Morristown, New Jersey.
Thank you. Do you have a comment on this application?
I've been retained by Shore Casino.
Well, they've requested an adjournment, sir, in order for you to be able to prepare for this hearing. Have you prepared for this hearing, or are you requesting or supporting your counsel in a request that this matter be carried so that you are able to prepare?
To the latter, yes. I've reviewed some documents, but for the most part, I've only reviewed limited documents, and the thrust would be for me to see more so from the applicant. I see a lot of concerns, and these concerns consist with the actual construction. Even though the applicant indicates that him and his engineer will be able to solve these problems later, I don't know if that's somewhat feasible. He's using the, I'm looking at his drawings and...
Well, let's not get into the facts of the case right now.
The footings he's showing...
Uh-oh.
This is the building, it's very old, and it was built in the absence of uniform construction code by the state of New Jersey. Saying that in itself is a concern. But
can I just interrupt you, please?
Time out.
Sir?
Age and type of construction raise concerns. So from a structural standpoint, it's hard for me to comment because there's not much that has been submitted. But what I have reviewed is, I understand that the roof is called a wind vented roof system. And this type of system actually works by having air pass through. Now, the applicant...
Excuse me, sir? Excuse me?
I'm gonna have to stop.
Excuse me.
Tell him to stop.
Open the eyes.
Maybe put it in the chat.
He's sticking his earbuds out. I think he's getting feedback, so...
I'm gonna pay attention to an attendee.
Okay, his earbuds are back.
Sir, you have to stop for a moment. Demote him to an attendee.
As they said, it's a wind vented roof system.
You know, he hasn't been sworn, and I asked him just to explain why he went in an adjournment, and now he's going through testimony. We can't continue with that. He either has to be sworn in, or he's not going to proceed. And I don't know if there's some way you can type that in a message to him on the computer that he has to be sworn in. And without that, he's not talking anymore.
Well, if he wants to adjourn, he should ask for that, and he should be here in person so he can address it. This is why when we talked about this Zoom stuff, some of us didn't think it was quite right.
That's it.
So where do we go from here?
Why don't you answer him and...
Yeah, there's no way you can't message him. There should be a chat function in the Zoom.
I don't know.
So you can tell
I'm
him
sure
he can come back in.
Reading the chat, or knows how to access the chat either.
Yeah, well, that could be too.
Did you text him?
I did text him. I said let the board speak. Okay.
So let's see if we can get him back in. Mr. Guider, can you hear us at this point? And shake.
Yes, I can.
All right. Yes, but you can't continue to give testimony. I have to swear you in if you're going to give testimony about what you say are facts. So raise your right hand. You either swear or affirm that any testimony you give in connection with this proceeding is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I do.
All right. Go ahead and explain to the board what you want to testify to tonight, and why you think the board should postpone this to another date. And I would like for you to address, before you start, please let me finish.
Sure.
You went on for a few minutes about structural issues, the construction codes, and other codes. They are not relevant to this board. What this board is considering is a site plan. What is on the site? Is there traffic problems? Are there issues relating to the building needing variances that they can't comply with? That kind of thing. The construction official and his office is going to look at the structural issues that relate to this place, and they're not going to issue permits unless they meet the current codes. And that's not what this board does. This board looks at the site plan, the layout, the design. Does it work? If it needs variances, do they meet the criteria for the variances or not? So if you can focus on those issues, if you want to testify, fine. But we don't need to hear endless stuff about the beams and the footings and that kind of stuff, because this board doesn't do that.
Okay, then my concerns are with one, they're talking about increasing the membership and putting additional restaurant space. So has anybody addressed the parking issue? I feel that a parking analysis should take place. That's always an issue with additional renovations and addition of space. So that's one of my concerns.
Are you a traffic expert, sir? Sir, are you an engineer? You're a licensed engineer?
I'm a licensed structural engineer, yes.
You're a structural engineer. You're not a traffic engineer.
No, I'm a civil. No, I'm a civil engineer.
All right.
I do site plans.
Okay. Do you do traffic plans?
I do not.
Okay.
But the parking analysis is part of the site plan, not the traffic analysis.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. So, as I said, I'm concerned with the parking. It is a yacht club. I don't know how the mooring is, but I'm assuming people, if as you increase the membership of the yacht club, you're going to want more mooring. So I feel that should be addressed. My other concern is we talked a lot about noise barriers, protecting the people on the deck, but there was no discussion about the noise barrier and vibrations from the deck for the shore casino below, for those inhabitants. So I think that's a major concern. But we didn't want to address structural issues, but they're putting a deck over a very specialized roof, and that really needs to be addressed. And I realize you say you could address that with the building department, but I think that really needs to take place first. Additionally, maybe this is not my purview, but when they start talking about putting columns in the building, there's going to be a lot of destruction of service to my client. Based on my experience, the putting in of mini piles or any type of piles within a building is definitely going to take some time. So the Shore Casino is going to be inoperative for a while. I think that's the thrust of my concerns without discussing the actual structural issues that, as you said, would deal with the building department.
Okay. Counselor, you're here. Do you have any questions that you want to pose to your witness?
My questions are going to be of a general nature, just asking Mr. Geiger as to his concerns about the preliminary plans that he's taking into that. I believe he's addressed some of the major concerns.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Can I have one?
Yep.
May I have one more comment?
Sure.
The exterior columns, I can't tell based on the rendering, but what I can see, it looks like it's blocking a window to the Shore Casino. Maybe Mr. Stone could address that.
Yeah. No, they're not blocking windows.
Okay. It looks that way in the rendering.
All right. Anything further, sir?
I think that's it for now.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, any other comments up on Zoom? Anybody else with a hand raised?
No.
No? Okay. So.
All right. That said, the board has to first make a determination as to whether or not you're going to carry this application further or act upon it this evening. And if you decide to carry it, the matter will be carried to a date certain time certain, so there will be no further notice required. We'll have to get an extension from the applicant to do that because time is running out, I should say. If you decide to move forward and decide the case this evening, you should give the applicant's counsel an opportunity to make a closing statement and then deliberate. So I think the first question is whether the board wants to carry this or if you have been completed this evening.
You mean a motion?
Yes.
I'll make a motion to move forward.
Completed this evening?
Yeah.
I'll second that motion. Would you speak?
Any discussion on the motion? If not, then let's call the roll.
Mr. Bombs?
Yes.
Mr. Hawley?
Yes.
Mr. Jusko?
Yes.
Mr. Kropinski?
Yes.
Ms. Majewski?
Yes.
Dr. Zuzulak?
Yes.
That motion passed.
In that case, we'll move to closing statement from Mr. Nelson. And then deliberation by the board.
Thank you, Chair and Council. I'll be very brief. We've heard a lot over the course of two evenings over the last 2 months about an application for an 1,800 square foot deck. Aside from what you've heard from Mr. Stone's testimony, you've heard very little specifically relating to the question at hand within this board's jurisdiction, which is whether the proposal is a permitted use in the zone which meets the applicable standards for that zone with the minimal relief requested. The proposed application is clearly in line with the objectives of the marine recreational zone, which promotes outdoor uses. Any perceived negative impacts are clearly outweighed by the public benefits. The application in no way improves, inhibits, or harms the intent or purposes of this the marine recreation zone. The Harbor Commission, which manages the property, and the borough, which owns the property, have supported and consented to this application due to those public benefits, which are relevant to your inquiry. And with that, I will conclude. No, nothing further to provide. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Stein, could you just reiterate for the board what exactly we're voting on tonight, what is our purview, and what we should be taking into consideration?
Sure. The application is for a minor site plan. This application falls within, you have major site plans and minor site plans. This falls within the definition of a minor site plan in your ordinance. And it's required to come here because they're expanding a use in the building. The use is a permitted use in the zone. The one variance that I'm aware of that is required, and that is because the deck is going to go to the end of the building and is not set back in from the building. My understanding is that the applicant agreed during testimony at the last meeting to move in 5 feet and prevent 5 feet from the wall's end to prevent people from getting closer than 5 feet. Correct me if I'm wrong. But
I think that Ms. Rohmeyer, when I said we would be willing to move back 5 foot, he commented that the building is very symmetrical and filled out, and then we discussed putting up some sort of a barrier along that edge that abuts the park. And right now it's 13 inches.
Okay,
from that
so
edge.
you're still asking for the full barrier, for the full 15 foot barrier, not 10
on the side. Yeah.
Okay, so they need it. They're supposed to be 15 feet, and they're going right up to it.
Actually, five. Because it's not it was determined not to be a public roadway, and that was per your engineers.
I'll defer to defer to Mr. Rohmeyer.
Clarify very quickly, as indicated in our report from December 28, 2022, relief is needed as the application is presented, specifically the 150/54 I-6, which requires 5 foot setback. Of a rooftop deck from the edge of all sides of a building or structure that's not on a public street. So 5 feet required. I believe the testimony was approximately 1 foot proposed, and proposed to be mitigated by way of folding
screen wall that would be extended. Evenings or winds. We get a lot of easterly winds there. So we had always considered putting like a roll down vinyl shade or something like that. But we thought about the implications of maintenance and aesthetics. We felt that the stacking screen like the Atlantic House has would be a much better idea.
Okay, understood. So it's a variance for 1 foot where 5 feet is required.
Correct.
Great. And that's basically it.
Board discussion?
As a condition, I'd still like to see that geotech survey, see what's under that ground, and have that approved by Mr. Rohmeyer.
We have no objections to a condition of resolution that, you know, all building codes and engineering requirements be met.
This would be an addition.
So the boilerplate conditions. It's there, but we can specifically include a geotech survey.
Good.
There's no height variance needed, but I still think that they were very thoughtful in the designs that they're showing to be able to see through. I think there was also thoughtfulness with sound to not only block but also absorb, which is two ways to mitigate sound. So I think that there was a lot of thoughtfulness there. I don't think the building actually looks nice as is, so this probably would be an enhancement in my opinion. Not that that's a consideration for what we're approving, but I think, you know, something to consider.
Yeah, I agree with all those points. I think at the end of the day, this is a permitted use in an appropriate zone.
It's a pretty narrow question we're looking at.
Yeah,
I mean, there've been a lot.
Like, we're just voting on the variance.
Yeah.
Because it's already
on an old existing building.
Yeah. And there will be plenty of opportunity to address concerns.
I mean, in the master plan, and it has a vision that the waterfront business district is meant to be built up and to be shared with the community and the outside communities. And I know the marine recreation kind of butts up against that, but I mean, it's all in the same area, so it's meant to be shared. And I think that they were very conscious of that in their design.
Anybody want to make a motion?
I'll make a motion. Mr. Bonds?
I'll second it. Majewski?
Just to clarify, it is to approve?
With all
the conditions that we discussed.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. Roll call.
Mr. Bonds?
Yes.
Mr. Hawley?
Yes.
Mr. Josko?
Yes.
Mr. Kropinski?
Yes.
Ms. Majewski?
Yes.
Dr. Zuzulak?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Thank you. Right. Thanks for your time and testimony.
Motion adjourned.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Adjourned. I was just waiting for you to finish talking. I remember that happened.